Good evening. We take our seats, we'll begin. Great to see you all here tonight. Thank you for coming and welcome to the March 8th, 2011 Morro Bay City Council meeting. Let the record reflect that all City Council members are present, and we'll begin, please, with a moment of silence. And if you would please rise and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Councilmember Noah Smuckler.
Repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Any announcements? I'll start with Carla.
Okay, wasn't ready for that. Yes, I do have a few. I want to remind everyone that the Estero Bay Youth Coalition is meeting monthly at Del Mar School on the first Wednesday of the month at 7:30, and they welcome participation from the community. The Harbor Advisory Board met last week, and I'm the liaison there, so I'd just like to do a couple reminders that there's a training opportunity March 23rd for dock walkers, and the dock walker program is run through the NEP and will be helping provide clean boating information to the public. The phone number for the NEP is 772-3834 if you're interested in participating in that. Also, the Harbor Advisory Board wanted me to bring to the council a reminder as we look at our goals and things, and I think we all received a memo on the importance of their concerns about the newspaper wrecks. So those are the two things from them, and I think everybody's here to talk about all the other things that are coming up, so I'll just stop at that.
Nancy?
Nothing at this point.
George? Noah?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is an invitation on behalf of Mr. John Weiss and the Rotary Club. They have started or are initiating the discussion about an eco-rotary subcommittee, basically, off of our local Rotary. And so the focus, obviously, would be on the environments, but carrying on the Rotary tradition of service for the community. And they hosted one informational meeting, which was attended by myself and Ms. Borchard. But a number of people couldn't attend, and so they've rescheduled a second meeting to be available for people who may be interested. And that's going to be this Thursday, the 10th, at 5:15 at the Flying Dutchman restaurant on the Embarcadero. So if you're interested, please show up there at 701 Embarcadero this Thursday for the Eco Rotary. And John Weiss asked us to make this announcement, and his phone number, if you'd like some more information, is 748-9615. A couple other things is we ended our last meeting with a little questioning about when our wastewater treatment plant JPA meeting was going to be taking place because of some scheduling issues, and we, as it turns out, are going to continue with the originally scheduled date of the 10th. So that will be coming up also this Thursday. And I believe that's in Morro Bay. Is that
yes.
Right? Yeah, Morro Bay at the community center. And I did attend the last RAC meeting, Water Resources Advisory Committee, to the council, to the county, excuse me. And they are busy circulating the draft master water plan for the county, and are going to have a special meeting for that plan and to discuss more of the details the 21st of this month. That's March 21st. From 1:30 to 3:30 at the San Luis County Library.
Thank you. I'm going to ask the council to consider passing item A6. If we could do that, then I'm going to make a presentation.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Nancy, would you join me down below, please? Thank you. I don't know if this works with the cameras, but I'm going to do it this way. Is anybody joining you?
Yes. We have our own.
Nancy Castle.
Votes for women! Votes for women! Votes for women!
Our former mayor.
And Janice Peters.
Yes.
So everybody knows everybody here, I'm sure. I'm going to read a proclamation proclaiming 2011 as the year of celebration of the 100-year anniversary of California women having the right to vote. And here we go. Whereas in 1911, Proposition 4 was placed on the October 10, 1911 special election ballot giving California women the right to vote. And whereas California women campaigned across the state, stopping in rural counties and cities, gaining support from local women and men as the main part of their strategy. And whereas the hard work of strong local suffragettes and their male supporters garnered enough yes votes to pass Proposition 4. And whereas the community of Morro Bay is part of the San Luis Obispo County, which collectively and proudly cast yes votes by a 12% margin to counteract the no votes of their counterparts in some large cities. And whereas the San Luis Obispo County vote helped California become the sixth state to give women the right to vote. And whereas 2011 marks the 100th anniversary of California women having the right to vote. And whereas, the last one, women's rights states like California were instrumental in getting the 19th Amendment passed nationally in 1920. So therefore, it's resolved that the City Council of the City of Morro Bay in the County of San Luis Obispo in the State of California does hereby proclaim 2011 as a year of celebration of the 100-year anniversary of California women's right to vote. And I want to highlight, put the spotlight on Nancy, who is sitting on this county committee. And that's another committee to sit on, and it's another monthly meeting to go to. And she is doing her part on behalf of the City of Morro Bay. Thank you, ladies, for coming up, and I present the proclamation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The mayor appointed me to serve as his representative on this wonderful committee, which includes all the cities, plus educational groups, and historical societies in our county, and we're planning a whole year of celebration. We have several activities planned for right here in Morro Bay, which you'll hear more about later. So thank you very much. Would you like to say anything, ladies?
Thank you for the opportunity to take the mic and remind everyone that every vote counts. And that is probably the biggest message that we can get out this time, is it is important to vote. And the other thing that I would appreciate is if anyone has a elderly relative who may was raised in this community, Cayucas, Cambria, over to Los Osos, and especially Morro Bay, who may have some information about how the Morro Bay women and men participated in this movement to bring the vote to a large portion of the population. I would love to hear from them, and my number is 772-2715, and I thank you very much for this honor.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Janice.
Former politician, you always have something to say. I just want to say that along with the right to vote, you also have the right to run for office. And the more women run for office, the better, because the better variety of people you get to vote for.
With your indulgence, there's three people I'm going to let go first on the public comment period. I see the young lady from the high school. We have not met yet. I assume you're here to talk. Come on up.
Good evening. My name is Madhuri Panchal. I'm Morro Bay High School's ASB representative. I'd like to start off by letting everyone know that on Thursday in the library at 4 p.m., there's going to be a meet and greet with the Western Associations of Schools and Colleges, also known as WASC. They'll be on campus from the 27th to the 30th. And we would also like to acknowledge the support and dedication
to you tomorrow, and we're glad that you came down tonight. Good evening.
Good evening, and thanks for having me. Thank you, Mayor, and thanks to the City Council members for passing last year a proclamation declaring April is Autism Awareness Month. It's coming up again, and so I thank you for your consideration of this proclamation again. on behalf of the Autism Spectrum Center, actually of Cal Poly too, where I'm a professor, and all and a Los Osos resident. We would just like to let you know that the Spectrum Center does exist to promote awareness regarding autism and to support families who have children on the spectrum. So if anyone in the audience or any of you up in front know people or have kids who have autism, you know, they should contact me. My number at Cal Poly is 756-6082, and we would be happy to connect them in some way. We run a camp at Rancho El Choro for kids with autism in the summertime, and via Cal Poly, our graduate students, all in special ed, all support families of kids with autism in their homes all during the academic year. So those are really my messages. The kickoff Autism Awareness Week in San Luis Obispo, we're going to have a walk. We had it for the past 2 years. It's around the mission. That'll be on Sunday, April the 3rd. And that's really what I have to say. So appreciate your time. And if anybody has any questions regarding autism, well, you can, I don't know, is there a break in these meetings? Or
there is, right after public
right.
comment.
And you can catch me during the break.
We appreciate you coming down,
okay.
Mr. Roof. Thank you. And is Victoria Petty here? Victoria? Victoria didn't make it. So then we'll just, pardon me? Thank you so much, City Clerk. I don't know what I would do without you.
We can't hear the City Clerk, by the way.
Thank you very much for that. Mr. Schultz. We have the closed session report,
yes.
Please.
Good evening, Councilman. In closed session, prior to tonight's regular session on two separate matters, conference with labor negotiator and real property transactions. The real property transaction discussed was lease site 86-86W and 87-87W. As to the real property negotiations and the labor negotiations, no action was taken in closed session that requires reporting under the Brown Act.
Thank you, Bridget, for that reminder. Victoria Petty? Here is our business speaker. Did you just come in? Victoria is with Business Network International, and she is the Chamber's business speaker tonight. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Thank you. For those of you who don't know what Business Network International is, it's a group of business professionals that meet together to pass referrals and do business with each other on a local level. And there's probably tens and thousands of them all across the United States and around the world. And we have one here in Morro Bay. And it started 4 years ago. And we have a group of business professionals that over the 4 years we've been able to pass $400,000 in business to each other. And it's a great way for any local businesses to join and be able to bring their business to the next level. I am a local realtor here. I've been with Coldwell Banker for a couple of years now, or about a year and a half, excuse me. But I've been a realtor for 25 years, and it really has helped my business locally. So it's been a great group, and we want to offer it to anybody who's a local business owner. And come and talk to us, and we do advertise in the chamber, and we are members of the chamber here locally. And that's all I have to say about it.
Thank you so much for coming down, Victoria. Okay, now we're at the open forum. First person to get up to the mic is the first person to speak.
Boy.
I had a feeling she was going to win, too. Good evening.
Good evening.
Please state your name for the record.
Linda Williams.
And please say your city of residence.
Morro Bay.
And please limit your comments to 3 minutes. When the buzzer goes off, please conclude. Welcome.
Okay. I'm with Morro Bay Beautiful Citywide Yard Sale Treasure Hunt Weekend Committee. And this will be on April 2nd and 3rd, which is Saturday and Sunday.
Can you pull the mic down to you? It just helps on the TV. Thanks.
Okay. And sellers, $10 is for individuals and $30 for nonprofit groups and businesses. And sign-ups are at the Chamber of Commerce. And the deadline to sign up is Wednesday, March 23rd. Buyers will be able to find treasure maps starting up.
Rumors are going around that we're going out of business. However, that's not true. Burgess has been an icon in Morro Bay since 1954 when my father, Verge, opened the business on the Embarcadero. I'm proud to continue that legacy, but there will be some changes coming soon. We're going to move the tackle store and the boats to a new spot on the Embarcadero. We have a lot of support from other businesses, and they're helping us to find temporary locations to load and offload fishermen. Our salmon season starts April 1st and then rock cod in May, so we need to take action. We're also looking for a permanent location. I will let you know as soon as we have more information. In the meantime, our phone number will stay the same, 772-1222. And we'll be updating, we're getting a new website, and we'll updating that as we continue on these changes. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sharon, and best of luck with your relocating in the future. Good evening, Ms. Kennedy. Welcome.
My name is Deanna Kennedy. I'm a veteran and resident of Morro Bay. Thank you. Mayor, City Council, City Staff. I represent the Central Coast Veteran Support Group, recently formed by me, but with the help of many. I would like to first, and I know he's going to look up when I say his name, to thank Rob, because he's gone, what? I want to thank him because indirectly he gave me a few numbers and so forth, but we have a young lady that's going to come out. Our meeting is the 15th. It's going to be the third Tuesday of every month. And we have a young lady that's going to come out from the Senior Legal Center. And it's thanks to Rob because, you know, I've been trying to get somebody for a couple of months. So thank you, Rob. And I want to tell you, it's just been fabulous. With the support of the community and the local stores for putting the flyers up and the newspaper and the TV, it's been wonderful. We originally thought that if we could help one or two veterans per month, that'd be a good thing. Here we find out we're helping a whole lot more. This coming Tuesday, we do have a legal representative. I have blank wills and also power of attorney and so forth. And I also have a young lady coming out from the VA clinic. And I know a lot of the veterans recently went, I didn't know I could get that. I thought I had to spend 20 years. Untrue. Untrue. If you served your country, you have benefits. You have rights. There is thousands upon thousands, and I kid you not, there are thousands upon thousands of dollars out there for veterans. And if you know one, if you have a family member, please. If they can't make it to the meeting, I put some of my new business cards back there for the Veterans Support Group. Please let them know to give me a call. And if you have a young person going in, and I'm looking at Carla on that one, it was a pleasure meeting your daughter. And if you have a young person that's joining, please give them my number. I mentor soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq. So I just want to thank all of you for being so supportive. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deanna. Good evening, John.
Good evening. Honorable Mayor, City Council, my name is John Solu. I'm a citizen of Morro Bay and also a business owner. I'm going to try to do a speed read, so I apologize if I look down a lot. I'm here tonight representing 650 out of the 900 guest rooms in Morro Bay, which is approximately 72% of stakeholders in the T-bid. These stakeholders are appealing the decision that was made last Tuesday to maintain the current contractor for the marketing of hotels. Stakeholders are asking you to allow Barnett, Cox & Associates to represent the T-bid or open the RFP process. The stakeholders believe that a different strategy is needed for our marketing. In 1994, Morro Bay formed a promotions advisory committee with a $25,000 budget and hired Tom Jones Advertising Agency to promote the city. Today, the city general fund contributes $125,000 toward promotions budget. In 2008, At the urging of the hotel industry, the city of Morro Bay started the Morro Bay Tea Bid with a funding of 3% out of the 912 rooms, which equates to about $450,000 budget promoting the stakeholders. Morro Bay Tea Bid, at the will of the stakeholders, and it's managed by the city-approved advisory committee. From 1994 until now, four hotels were added on in the city of Morro Bay, and one disappeared. But throughout this whole time, we've been running a 50% occupancy from 1994 to now, approximately on an average, and probably helped stale and old. I'd like to bring to everybody's attention in the last 12 months, which I won't go into details, $1.5 million investment was made in hotels in refurbishing their product. The product is competitive, but the market share is lagging. Please override the recommendation to continue with the current contractor and appoint other option, or ask the T-Bid to go back to the process of the RFP. Thank you, and I present you with the original signatures that was signed that I gave you guys.
Thank you, John. Thank you. Just a reminder, the medical marijuana dispensary ordinance and city council goals are public hearings, and the appropriate time to speak on those subjects is during the public hearings, unless you need to go home, then we do invite you to come up now. But no two bites at the apple, please. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Jane Beeman, and I live in Morro Bay, and I'm also a TBID member. I have rewatched the TBID joint meeting on marketing that was held March 1st, and as a member of the TBID board, please know that I felt obligated and very pressured to make a decision that evening based on 2 15-minute verbal proposal and visual messages, plus a large stack of written material. I had insufficient time to review the written materials. On a matter of such importance to the city, its business people, and the presenters, it was unfair to allow less than 36 hours, and in my case, less than 8 hours, to digest such a cumbersome material. I voted to approve TJ based on two principal merits. To me, as a representative of hoteliers, the visuals TJ presented best represented what sets Morro Bay apart from other coastal communities. Furthermore, TJ's numbers fit into the suggested future budget set for a new marketing contract. TJ did not suggest that there would be cost overages, which overages the hoteliers cannot bear the burden. I did not base my vote on personalities or emotions. In addition, I feel it quite appropriate that when a long-term standing independent contractor's contract is up for renewal, that an audit be conducted that would indicate a correlation between performance and cost. This kind of audit should have been part of the materials because it impacts performance and then would offer a clear picture of the effectiveness of the existing marketing term. If I had ample time to review materials as well as been given the audit, I could have conducted an independent investigation on both firms and informed the hoteliers of same to solicit their voice and vision. Since the March 1st meeting, I have talked to three hoteliers and persons familiar with Cox's performance for the city of San Luis Obispo. I have also had several conversations with personnel at Morro Bay's Visitor Center and Chamber of Commerce. What I discovered is the following, that the city's infrastructure is inadequate to support any firm's marketing and PR efforts. Regardless of what firm you decide upon tonight, there must be a plan in place to implement it by the visitor center and the overall business community. Someone must be in charge. Second, hoteliers have signed a petition in favor of a change in marketing without knowledge of future budgets or visionary plans. Third, that our hoteliers across the board do not want an increase in their tax structure. And lastly, that the RFP did not offer a clear picture of what Morro Bay's tourism target goals are so that any applicant could answer these questions. Can you increase the occupancy in our hotels by 3% in your first year with an additional 2% each year thereafter? And if so, what is the plan for this and what is the cost? I implore council to not act on a decision to choose a marketing firm tonight. Ask the CPC and TBID to revisit this
Jane,
matter.
Jane, I need to ask you to conclude, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry to do that, but that's the rules. Good evening, Mr. Martoni.
Good evening, City Council. My name is Bill Martini, Morro Bay. First off, I was watching the City Council meeting 2 weeks ago, and I really want to commend George League and the Council for discussing and thinking about the parking lot at the Rock. I think this is the jewel of Morro Bay, and I was really impressed that this is going to possibly finally be addressed. It's when you're talking about room occupancy, I don't know how much it has to do with it, but it has been neglected. I came here 40 years ago, and the parking lot hasn't changed in the last 40 years. So by bringing this up and actually looking at that along with the potential of putting a bridge or crossing the creek where the Embarcadero can actually access the beaches north of the Embarcadero, I think this is an excellent idea. I think the community should get behind it, and I just wanted, again, to commend the City Council for bringing this forward and to see if citizens groups or whatever can actually get behind and push this.
And the goal is to get residents involved and do the maintenance on the trails that are, that's needed. The specific work that we'll be doing brush work and some minor tread work. It's Black Hill especially is a local trail from all the residents that I would encourage any residents listening to contact me. You could look for these flyers around. My number is 772-9294, and the flyers are posted around the state park and around Morro Bay. I'd appreciate and encourage everybody to come out and help. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. My name is Mike Casola, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I'm the Chief Operating Officer for Boutique Hotel Collection. We have six hotels in the county. I serve as on the Executive Committee for the CVB, as well as the Pismo Beach Hospitality Association, which I'm treasurer. I'm also I also serve on the Advisory Council for Cal Poly and on their Recreation Department. I'm here to speak on behalf of John Sorgenfrey. I work with John primarily in Pismo Beach. I worked with him briefly here. I think he's a very dedicated and talented marketing executive. What I found with working with John is that you're somewhat skeptical as somebody who's had a contract that long, and I addressed that specifically with him. And he really, I believe he goes out and he tries to do the right thing every year for his clients. And I think that's why he's kept the contract as long as he has. When posed with a problem, John doesn't give you 50 solutions. He gives you two or three well-thought-out solutions. And he's been a pleasure to work with, at least from as a hotelier. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming, Mike. Thanks for speaking. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. My name is Peter Beeman, and I'm here to talk to you about keeping fireworks in Morro Bay. We have the first of our fundraising events coming up at the Harbor Hut on the 20th of March. It's going to be a fun afternoon. We're having a luau. They're going to roast a whole pig. They're with all the trimmings, Mai Tais. We're going to have a Hawaiian shirt contest, some neat Hawaiian music and some surf music. At any rate, I just want to encourage everybody to participate and to help support fireworks in Morro Bay. $20, wear your Hawaiian t-shirt, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. I'll have to see if I've got any of those shirts. Good evening, Chris. Welcome.
Good evening. Chris Christensen, resident of Morro Bay. And by the way, that's a picture of Peter up there on the flyer. He was the model. I'm here to follow up. I'm also vice president of Morro Bay 4th, and we put on the fireworks show last year. And I just wanted to publicly thank the members of TBID and their board. Thanks to their generous support, we are well on our way to guaranteeing having the 4th of July fireworks again this year, thanks to support from organizations like TBID, the local CPC, and the Morro Bay Chamber of Commerce. And that's all I wanted to say, was just thank you to those three organizations for almost guaranteeing now that we will have the fireworks back this year.
Thank you, Chris. Hi.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. My name is Sean Farmer. I own Farmer's Kites and Surreys on the Embarcadero. I'm here tonight to ask you to reverse the decision to keep Tom Jones Advertising as the city's advertising agency. I've been in business on the waterfront for 15 years. This will be our fifth year for the Kite Festival, and not once have I been approached about promoting this event. This weekend, I was on the Chamber's website looking for stuff about the Kite Festival. There's one picture on the website of kites in the sky. You don't know where they're at. And it's the Kite Festival is 2 days this year. It said, and I quote, I will give you a copy, the Kite Festival is April 30th and May 1st, and in the writing below it says, what a great way to spend Saturday. I don't see, if it's a two-day event, we want the people here for the weekend. So that's what I have to say. If I could, I'd like to give you all a copy of what I printed and show you a picture that should be on the website.
I don't know if that'll fit in there, but you can give it to the AGP guy and see what happens. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. And then you can welcome to give that to the staff if you'd be so kind. That's a great picture. That is a great picture. Thank you for sharing that with us. And for coming down and sharing your frustration. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Council people. Gary Richard Arnold, Santa Cruz, California. One thing I noticed, whether women or anybody else gets a right to vote, it doesn't mean a thing unless they use it. Unlike other counties and cities, you're being cheated out of public participation. I asked to have one item from the consent calendar taken out. That's normal practice in free entities, government entities. You're being cheated not just tonight, but every council, council of governments from San Luis Obispo. And what the harmonization of laws is a standardization and uniformation in order to prepare for a North American Union. The lobby for that is called California Forward. It's manned by ex-politicians. It's a Rockefeller Foundation, Irvine Foundation, Packard Foundation. The billionaires that make the jobs overseas sit here tax-free, recreating, changing the form of government in which we live under. And it's important if you go to freedomadvocates.org, it'd be very valuable to get. But the Sovietization of your cities and counties is happening here right now, and it's being hidden by the Tribune up in Santa Cruz, Bill Gates Foundation, Bill and Melinda Gates, members of the Bilderberger Society, bought the Mercury, the Herald, and the Santa Cruz Sentinel. These regional agencies are supplanting you as directly elected representatives, and you need to follow the Constitution, keep your police local and independent.
Thank you, Gary. Please, 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 thank you. Good evening, Harold. So nice to see you.
Hey, good evening, Mayor and Council members. Thank you for doing a hell of a good job. I'm up here to ask the...
Harold, forgive me. We all know who you are, but for the record, if you'd say your name, please.
Yeah, my name is Harold Biagini, owner of the Embarcadero Inn. Half-owner. yeah, I am married. I came up to ask you folks to make sure you don't do like all the congressmen and women have done to the United States and not listen to the people. The people have spoken in regard to the marketing. 72% would like a change, and I would like the council to remember that. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming down tonight. Good to see you, and you, Karen. Hi, Betty.
My name is Betty Winholtz. I'm here to speak on B1. I cannot stay for the public hearing on the marijuana dispensaries. I understand that this is not the first reading, but it is a draft, and I did send to the council questions, and I'd like to read them out loud for the public. I think it's important to redefine what a person is. I think it's too broad of a definition. Permit fees, question about whether these kinds of fees are required of other businesses that require this kind of background search, and if so, how will you prorate that? Concerns about the sensitive receptor sites. That it seems to me that the distance between the dispensaries and sensitive sites has been reduced, and just could you confirm that or not and make sure that it's as far apart as it can be. Sensitive receptor sites, of course, being schools and churches and daycares. The draft is suggesting that two dispensaries be allowed in town. I don't know that we've ever talked about two. I thought we always had talked about one, so I'd like to hear that discussion. I thought that there was some confusion over the selection process of who chooses and how that entity gets chosen who will run one or more dispensaries. The ordinance to me seems to overlap in different areas between your role as the city council, the city manager, a selection committee that's referred to, a hearing officer that's referred to, and I think that that needs to be clarified. I had a concern that the only background checks were going to be done by the owner and or management. I feel with this kind of a business, you need to do background checks on volunteers, employees of other kinds, particularly the security. I had a question about, and I don't know what's normal, but it does talk about that people could visit the dispensary twice a day, but it does not say what amount they could purchase and if that could be clarified. The idea about being able to use cash and in-kind gifts as an exchange, I don't know if that fits with the state requirement and would like a clarification about that. And I was unclear to me about whether who owns this dispensary, if they're capable of owning dispensaries in other places. In other words, would this become a chain or is it truly an independent, nonprofit type of organization? And so I hope that you can get those questions answered tonight. Mr. Schultz did respond and say that some of these were policy questions, which are things you'll need to discuss, and some of them were technical questions as well. Before I stop, I do want to bring to your attention, if you have not seen the Planning Commission from last week, where a member of your board, Ms. Johnson, came and spoke to the Planning Commission, did not recognize herself as a city council member, and then gave them a recommendation. So when this came up in the past on the council, it was a matter of public discussion and what kind of consequence, if any, there should be in regard to that.
Thank you, Betty.
Probably sometime between 9 a.m. and noon. You can do so by going to the Coastal Commission website at www.coastal.ca.gov and watch it. The more people we have watching the meeting and becoming informed about this extremely crucial issue, the better able the community will be in assisting the council in pursuing the right project for Morro Bay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack. Good evening, David. Welcome.
Good evening, Council. David Nelson, Morro Bay. I'm here for a couple of reasons tonight. Newspaper today, fees for solar, $30,000 in our town. That's kind of embarrassing when a Tascadero is $200. You know, I know that our council is very interested in energy in our town. I would hope that you'd start looking at some of the renewable projects that are out there through the CEC mainly, and there's lots of opportunities for our city to actually get into the energy business as opposed to just giving away our environment to a privately owned company. Now, you know, a good step would be to lower those fees on solar projects in our city. I mean, they bring jobs, they create money in our community. And it's the way to go. I mean, instead of fighting for a gas-fired, dilapidated power plant at the end of the Embarcadero, let's maybe become a power company ourselves. There's an initiative going throughout the state for cities to step up and say, yeah, we'll be a power agency. I'll give you my roof. Come and put solar panels on it. You guys sell the energy back to me. How good is that? I mean, and this is happening. I mean, and this, you're not going to see it if you keep working with power producers that have all their money tied up in fossil fuel. The future is renewables. And if you don't believe that, I really don't think you should be sitting up there. There are opportunities to make money in energy as a city, as a municipal entity that will step up and manage these systems and manage the funds that are out there. I mean, there's so much money. That's why they're building these stupid power plants in the middle of the desert, because the government gives them 30%. So if you have a billion-dollar project, the government's going to give you 30% of the money to go out and do that. They're not. You've got to go fight right now to get money to do a small, independent, standalone kind of power plant. But these guys write the rules, and oil companies are all part of these solar projects that are going on. But once we take the reins ourselves and start doing this stuff and creating our own energy, and it looks like a little bit, but when you have so many houses with so much land already taken up, and you put these solar panels on, you'd be amazed how fast it'll come on. There are thousands of megawatts already in the pipeline to be put on. So Morro Bay Power Plant, I hope we don't start depending on that. That's what got us into this predicament where we are now. We depended on a new plant that never materialized. Now you're going to go and sign another two-year lease that'll bring a bunch of money in. Who knows what we're going to do, which I would hope that you would fix our roads in this town. Where I live, up by the water tank on Elena, that road's almost down to the base now, right at the water tank, and it's dangerous, and you need to fix our roads.
Thank you, David. Hi, welcome.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. My name is Rick Turton. I live in Pismo Beach, and I work for TJA Advertising. John wanted me to come here tonight because he's snowbound someplace in Idaho, and he's trying to get here. Thanks.
Yeah, that's quite an entrance, John. John Sorgenfrei, he's given up the mic, I think, for you.
Thank you very much. I apologize. I'm John Sorgenfrei.
I'm going to interrupt you. We did get a call, staff did, from John a couple hours ago. He was on some landing strip in Idaho, so I know that he is just zoomed in here.
So I apologize for being late. As Rick was going to say, we're here for any questions. Unfortunately, I didn't have the ability to hear what was said before, but I will be happy to answer any questions if it's appropriate when you hear the matter before you tonight.
Great. Thanks. Glad you're here. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Now, Bill, careful.
Hi. My name is Bill Suchak. I'm a resident of Los Osos, but a business owner of Suite 1 down in the Embarcadero. I'm here tonight to talk about the advertising. As what you just witnessed, poor communication is a fact that has been going on here for approximately 16 years. What I did get out of the March 1st meeting was some of my concerns. One was the I'm afraid issue. Being afraid of a change is an emotion. It's not business. So that's our first flaw that we have with both committees. What is our back end to this? Who's actually going to manage the $600,000? The city of Solvang did a report, which I have. It is old. It's data from 2006-2007. For every dollar they invested in advertising, they got $150 in return. With a $147,000 budget, they got $22 million in revenue. Where do we have that? Where is this proof that the money that we have given this advertising agency, what has it actually done for the city? So I ask you not to vote for TJA. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Good evening, Mr. Trapp. Welcome.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Stan Trapp, and my home is in Visalia, California, but I represent Marina Square and Windows on the Water at 699 Embarcadero. I'm to talk about the marketing and advertising contract that you're discussing this evening. I hope that Council received my email letter over the weekend. For those who are unable to read my email, my position is as follows. TJA Advertising has had the Morro Bay contract for over 15 years, yet our hotel occupancy rate has declined. Our transient occupancy tax, TOT, has not kept up with the county average. Foot traffic has declined. Tourist-related restaurant occupancy has fallen, and the chamber website is in total disrepair. It is my opinion that TJ has done a dismal job in marketing Morro Bay over the last several years, and that the new competitor, Barnett Cox, should be given a chance. The economic pie may grow and shrink with the economy, but I firmly believe that Morro Bay deserves and has the potential for a bigger slice of that pie. 18 years ago, I started building Marina Square. The decision to do so was prompted by the potential that we saw in Morro Bay. For 15 of those 18 years, I feel that potential has been hamstrung by the poor performance of TJA. TJA's PowerPoint presentation to the CPC and TBID was titled Renewing Our Vows. Unfortunately, we are not talking about a marriage relationship. This is all about business. 15 years of lackluster performance, even in the light of the increased budget initiated by TBID, cannot continue to be tolerated. Using TJ's metaphor of a marriage relationship, I think 15 years is long enough. It's time for a divorce.
Thank you, Stan. Step right up. Come on up. Hi.
Hi. Virginia Hiramatsu, Morro Bay. I'm here to talk about Relay for Life and Rotary Club's Polio Plus Bunko Night next week. It's going to take place next Wednesday night, March 16th at 6 o'clock at St. Timothy's Church. The cost is $20 to play, $4 if you want just a light dinner, probably going to have pizza or something like that. And Rotary will be selling beer, wine, sodas, and waters. So come out, have a great time. It's a lot of fun. You don't even have to think to learn how to play if you don't know how to play. It's just a fun night, and it's a fundraiser for both Relay for Life and for Rotary Club's Polio Plus. The kickoff for Relay for Life will be on Thursday, March 24th at 6 o'clock at the Embarcadero Grill upstairs. So come out on the 24th to learn more about what Relay for Life is all about, become a committee member, join a team, or become a team captain. And I'll have more of the flyers at the back.
Great. Thank you, Virginia. Thank you. Thanks for coming down. Good evening, Ken. Welcome.
Good evening, Council. Ken Vesterfeld, resident of Morro Bay. I'd like to remind you on April the 16th, we're having a first-time emergency vehicle show here in Morro Bay. It's going to be free to the public, and it's going to be new and antique emergency vehicles, police, fire, military, ambulances. For the first year, we think we're getting a favorable response. We have people coming in from down south and the Bay Area. There's going to be a car here from Oklahoma State Trooper and several other agencies. So it's going to be a fun-filled event, again, to bring a little business into town and to promote a free day for the visitors. That's on April the 16th. And on Friday, April the 8th, is we want to remind you of Tip-A-Cop Dinner, and it's going to be there at the Community Center. Not to be confused with Tip-A-Cop, but the thing is put on by the police department, and it's for the Special Olympics, the torch run. So all of the proceeds will go to that, and it's very, very inexpensive for a dinner with all kinds of good servings. I think the Boy Scouts are going to be there also to promote that. And don't forget our annual car show.
Noon to 5 o'clock. A portion of the proceeds go to the Community Foundation to assist with scholarship programs. Thank you, Joe. And thank you for staff for assisting us in putting this off. So we have 7 breweries that are coming. We have over 35 chili heads cooking their favorite brand of chili. It is a sanctioned event with the International Chili Society. The winner of the International Chili Society goes to the World Chili Cook-Off. So it's a big deal. So come and enjoy Saturday with us. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks for coming down. Hi, how are you? Welcome.
My name is Lane Wilhite. We have a business on the waterfront, and I've been a resident in and around Morro Bay for the last 50 years. Live in Las Osas now, and pretty familiar with the waterfront. And Mr. Legal probably backed me up. Years ago, it used to be a pretty good waterfront. Everybody was busy. I'm not going to waste a lot of time. I'm going to say I backed Mr. Van Trapp up, everything he said. It's time for a new business. The old one's coasted long enough. That's about all I can say about it, because I don't know too much about everything. But I know that we need a change. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for coming down. And thanks for stepping up and speaking. Good evening, John. And then Janice after John.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta. I'd like to speak to you on item D1. If you award a contract tonight for advertising services, you will be putting the cart before the horse. There is no doubt that we need to change things. Unfortunately, none of the proposals that the staff report contain have any useful commitment about creating a serious marketing plan that fits our city. In fact, the two main proposals even have specific budget numbers that they've put in there. How do you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars without having a precise plan as to who we target, where we target, and what is the best way to get to our target? We need to have a serious talk about the whole picture. A good starting place, and I say starting place, would be to put out a narrower RFP that is focused solely on analysis of our tourist assets, our existing market, our competitors' markets, and our preferred market, and how to reach each of those in the future. And we should be willing to pay for that information all by itself. In short, we need something different than what is being offered here tonight. I'm sure that some study has already been done, including by some other cities. You heard some of that this evening, and it needs to be compiled so it will be useful in the process. I don't think that what I'm describing needs to be terribly expensive compared to what will eventually be spent on actual advertising. It's better to know what you're aiming at before you start shooting. So I urge you not to support any of the RFPs that are before you tonight. The first thing we need is some serious analysis and development of a marketing plan. Once we have a plan, we'll be able to spend our money wisely and effectively. I also urge you to look at the bigger issue, such as what is our relationship to the visitor center? What is the best role for the Community Promotions Committee in the future? You spend a lot of time looking at things like wastewater issues, and that's entirely appropriate. However, increasing city revenues through tourism development is also incredibly important. You need to spend a lot more city council effort on the whole picture, not just this one piece. Good luck with your decision tonight.
Thanks, John. Hi, Mayor.
Hello, Mayor and Council. My name is Janice Peters, and I am a member of the Promotions Committee. The Promotions Committee and the TBID, after an extensive discussion and review of the two presentations, both voted to proceed with Tom Jones Advertising once again. And our reasons were very valid. I'm going to just tell you one personal thing, which I've already told you, but I want to say publicly. They just talked about 15 years and what's happened in those 15 years. We had an earthquake that closed Highway 1 for some time. We had a recession that's hurt everyone. And I was elected just when we lost several million dollars in revenue from the power plant and our fishing industry. And I went to speak to John Sorgenfrey, and I said, look, we're not going to have the budget that we've had before. What can you still do for us? And he said, as best I can remember, he said, I know I can't buy you all the advertising that you've had before without the money, but I promise that I will give you the same amount of work. And he has. He has stuck with us through the bad times. So to say that the bad times were his fault, I'm not buying it. To say that we shouldn't have him now in the good times because we need change. This is not a TV set that we're talking about. This isn't a product you go and shop around and find the best deal of the day. This is a relationship in public relations. And there, I think, personality and loyalty and service, it's public service, is what counts. And we have had that service consistently from TJ Advertising. If people feel that there is not enough direction given to them, that's not TJ Advertising's fault. That's the fault of us, the council, the promo committee, the TBID, and the business people who I've not seen.
Daisy, longtime resident of Morro Bay, was born here. I just came to bring a couple things. First, I'd like to say I really don't want to be here addressing you, but I just want to make sure you're aware of a couple of items going on within our community. One of them, there was a federally declared salmon disaster back in September of 2010, and the federal government failed to fund it. And so they've got a lot of fishermen out in a precarious situation, as we weren't really allowed to catch any salmon last year. And we're expected to have money to for the upcoming salmon season that they're touting as potentially being better. But I encourage everybody in town to take that with a grain of salt, because they're comparing it to the 2007 season. And I can personally testify that 2007 was not a salmon season where anybody made any money. I followed them all up the coast, and the living was not profitable. There was not a lot of fish to catch. And so currently we're living in an unfunded federal salmon disaster, and I don't really hear anybody talking about it. They failed to even take the time to provide disaster loans to fishermen that might be in trouble over the fact that they weren't allowed to fish last year. And I would hope we could get some support from the city to try to nudge them to at least make disaster loans available. I've been told that the disaster loans themselves weren't made available because the governor failed to write a letter, so perhaps you guys could get together and encourage him to do so, so that fishermen don't just go out of business because the federal government's failing us out here. And I don't have a lot of hope for them actually funding the disaster itself. We're all aware of the climate in Washington. It's not pretty right now. They don't have a lot of money. And so they could well just maybe not fund a disaster. So that's my first issue. I went on the news to try to bring it to light because the local powers that be seem to be just letting it get brushed under the rug. But that's what's going on. They declared a federal disaster. They failed to fund it. And they failed to offer federal money in the form of loans even. And so that's where some salmon fishermen, and I'm not the only one in town, I'm just the only one who's willing to stand up and be a man and tell you what's going on. And that's why I'm here tonight. I really don't want to be here. Second item is the community fishing quota that's coming together. That has some issues potentially developing. Basically, the Nature Conservancy bought that quota from our old draggers who used to drag those fish up here, which in my opinion is a good thing. Draggers aren't my favorite, but then they took and they leased it out behind closed doors to a few boats. Sounds like six of them are from in town, a couple of them are from out of town, and I don't quite understand why I wasn't given an opportunity to lease that quota personally. Seems not really fair. Nobody offered me an opportunity. Nobody told me it was available. Nobody told me to call the Nature Conservancy. And so whatever you could do to maybe tighten that up would be great. And I see the things blinking. So those are kind of my two items. We actually have an open access group that's coming together.
I have to ask you to conclude, okay. Brian. I'm sorry.
All right. We have an open access group that's coming together, hopefully to represent the people who aren't currently represented.
I'm going to respond to you at the end.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And council, y'all do a good job.
Thank you. Who'd like to go next? Anybody?
How's it going? It's me again, Gary Hickson. And I want to say hello to everybody out there. You guys look behind you. And my name is Gary Hickson, and I live at 761 Butte Avenue, apartment 5 in Morro Bay. By the way, you're supposed to put your name and address for the record, but that's cool. There was a lot of good public comments, and my heart's racing a little bit right now. I check my pulse. It's good. I'm at the city council right now. I'm doing city council meetings in San Luis Obispo. I just did it for the first time. So I'm playing Jamie Summers on the Biotronic Woman on Channel 2, and we're also doing the Gary Tyler Moore Show. But we're working on changing 30% of it to get by NBC as long as we take some of the words out of the Mary Tyler Moore. And I'm doing city council. You always see me. I'm on TV all the time. I was really interested in the J.C. Dugard case that happened 2 years ago. It was great that she got $20 million. I'm sorry that Schwarzenegger had to take it out of the budget. I think you guys are doing a great job. And, you know, I stayed in contact with the police department. I got busted because I broke some of those orange flags. By the way, those orange flags, nobody's using them. And I think they should put some pink ones in there for, you know, J.C. Dugard, pink, you know, 1991. And I want to say hello to all my friends out there. And my hair's a little messy right now. So I'm still living over by the coffee shop. I'm going to wait for things to go off. And what that blonde guy said was really cool. I think he's a fisherman. And that reminds me of the movie Andrea Gale. You know, the Andrea Gale where the ship went down. And anyway, we're still pitching to Ozzy Osbourne. And by the way, Randy Rhoads' brother is Kelly Garney. Kelly Rhoads. And he's singing with Kelly Garney. And they're in Nevada trying to hook up with Ozzy. And I'm trying to get him out here to be the next Randy Rhoads, you know, because Randy was my idol. In the music store, we're doing some stuff. And they're doing a good job. The Cal Poly kids were supposed to fix the sidewalks around here. I'm at my house because I'm stuck in there all the time. And I guess that's pretty much what I wanted to say. But I just love everybody. And I thank God that they found J.C. Dugard. I just think that was fantastic. And I love you all.
Get a life. Okay.
Thank you, Gary. Hi.
That is one hard act to follow.
Yeah, good luck.
But you probably increased your viewership, like by that. That's fabulous. You should be in Fundraiser Follies. My name is Susan Stewart. I am the current chairperson of the Morro Bay Promotions Committee. A long time resident of Morro Bay and a business owner here.
And I am speaking on our advertising agency issue. As you know, we had presentations last week from the two finalists, and I think they both did an excellent job with fresh new ideas. And each of our boards did vote 4-2 in favor with continuing with TJA. Those who opted for BCA, the Barnett Cox Group, mentioned the appeal to a younger demographic and the fresh approach to marketing in Morro Bay. Others who voted for TJA liked the new campaigns John has introduced and were concerned with the consistency of advertising agencies and campaigns and the problems with interrupting our marketing agenda if we did make a change. Also, the cost of TJA overall was lower than the figures presented by BCA. Both agencies had exciting ideas for promoting Morro Bay. Some of the standout programs for me involved the social media video outreach campaigns. TGA has created some wonderful YouTube-style videos featuring our own local merchants, urging the visitor to discover your better nature in Morro Bay, letting us show them the way. And I really like the idea of using local merchants, restaurateurs, fishermen, and even dogs to promote our town. John is right. We have a community of over 10,000 people who are the best promoters of our town that we can find. An example of the kind of partnership TJA was able to develop was the Sunset Saver event, which had the dubious timing of being the same weekend as the Harbor Festival. John turned the event around by developing the Battle of the Bay dining experience, putting Windows on the Water and Frankie and Lola squarely in the forefront as one of the Sunset Saver's favorite events. John was also instrumental in establishing the Photography Festival, a multi-day event which was not only successful but grew in its second year. Some folks have expressed concern that TJA represents Pismo and Avila as well as Morro Bay. Rather than seeing this as a detriment, I see it as a huge plus. When it comes to clout with our advertising venues, the group promoting several communities and placing multiple ads is going to get better deals and preferential treatment. One example was a sunset ad for Morro Bay, which went in at a less expensive rate in a highly visible position simply because they knew TJA, they knew the agency. I really, and it's funny that Janice made that point about the community getting involved and coming to our meetings to share ideas, because I had just written a note about that. Nobody shows up to the meetings and says, this is what I'm concerned about, this is what I'm worried about, this is what I want to see. Our community needs to take responsibility for our successes and our failures, make sure we are presenting the fulfillment that our promotions are promising. Social media, I believe, is a two-edged sword. The good news that travels fast is rapidly overtaken by the bad news when a visitor has a bad experience. I think it's crucial to continue to have a presence in conventional marketing arenas and media and print, as well as all the new stuff. One of the things, too, I think over the years, Sorry, guys.
You're going to have to
make the decision on your own now.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome.
Good evening. Richard Margetson. Two meetings ago, I brought up, which I've done repeatedly here and at the JPA, your handling of public comment after public comment on agenda items. After I was done, Mary Yates stated that this is how we handle public comment in Morro Bay, and until I hear from members of this community, this is how we will continue to handle public comment on agenda items. Your community may be comfortable with how you handle it, or you think your community is comfortable with how you handle it, but that doesn't supersede following a law of the state of California, and that's the Brown. Now, tonight is a perfect example. You have an action item, D1, the awarding of a contract. And anybody interested in that agenda item had to give public comment now. Would love to hear what you have to say on this item tonight, and would love another chance to convince you to go one way or the other with this contract. I'm going to leave it at that. I hope you make the right decision. I hope you change your policy because you're the only ones in the county, in this county, that handle it this way. This community and the public, and it doesn't matter what community you come from, anyone coming to this city council should know that they have the opportunity to give public comment. That's why the Brown Act is there, for consistency amongst different jurisdictions. I hope you make a decision in the right direction, or the next time you will hear from an advocacy group. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Anybody else? Hi.
Good evening. My name is Ed Krovitz, and I'm a member of the Community Promotions Committee. And I just wanted to finish a little bit of the comments that Susan was going to make and ran out of time. So if you'll indulge me, she was going to talk about the fact that Janice had brought the fact that John had been with us through the good times and bad. And he has. He's done a lot with a little money over 15 years. And to blame the economic conditions on him, I don't think is correct. And now he has a chance to have a little more money to do even more things with. And I think we should give him the chance to do that. Also, it's crucial, I believe, and I know our committee does, that the CPC and the TBID, as well as the City Council, work more closely together in our campaign to promote our town. We have meetings every single month, and it's an empty room. If the business community and other concerned citizens have things that they want to tell us about and guide us in our decisions, come to our meetings. That's what they're there for, and that's what we're here for, and it's public, and they should be there, but we don't get them. We get them when a decision is made or after the decision is made. So I'm hopeful that we can have more frequent joint meetings to ensure the kind of communication which will best advance the best interests of our community. And it's a tough decision, and I hope you make the right one. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks for coming down. Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council, staff. My name is Bill Stafford. I've lived in town for a little over 22 years, which doesn't make any difference about this. I also serve on the Community Promotions Committee. And I've had the pleasure of doing that for 5 years. However, this year I decided I was not going to run. There was 4 openings. There were only 2 people in this town that signed up to fill those 4 openings. So I decided that I would put my name back in the hat again and was selected to go again. We still have an opening on that committee. And I think it's pathetic that this town doesn't have enough interest or enough business people with interest to want to serve on that committee. The committee also has 3 subcommittees. We have a budget committee, which acts starting about right now. We have a website subcommittee, and we have a creative subcommittee. Our website subcommittee, we normally have 3. There are only 2. And in the 5 years that I've been on that committee, there's been 1 person come up and talk to us about our website. I don't recall, and I went through my notes that go back to August of 08, I don't have any business person coming to our meetings and saying anything about our advertising or anything we try to do. And I would ask those people to do that. We don't know what you expect out of us until somebody tells us what we're doing. I also served of the 4 people to help select an advertising agent. We spent an awful lot of time doing that. I personally spent over 40 hours on it. And at our meeting last week, we ended up voting in our committee 4-2 to stay with Tom Jones Advertising. And I would say we need to stay with Tom Jones Advertising. I see that you all light. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? I'll bring it back to council. Thank you. That was a great public comment period. This is the highlight of the meeting, and we appreciate hearing from everybody. I want to thank Midori, who came down from the high school, who slips out of the room right away. And Mike Roof is still here. Anybody wants to talk to him about autism, here comes the break. Please grab him. And Linda and Sharon Markinson, I'll come back to you too, Ed Krovitz and Bill Stafford. That's a lot of people. That's twice as many as I've ever had. And we thank you all for coming down and taking the time out of your busy schedules to come out and address us. A couple of things here. The solar thing that was in the paper, the $30,000, is that so? Is that true? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Actually, I'm going to turn that over to Mr. Livick. We did do a little bit of research on that, and Mr. Livick can give you those more information.
The questionnaire that was presented to us didn't give us a whole lot of opportunity to give detailed information on how we calculate our fees. Our fees are based on our master fee schedule, and they're calculated based on valuation of a project. The project that the Sierra Club presented to us had that valuation to it. It didn't allow us to present our green building incentives that have a refund component for fees for green type projects. Also had an opportunity to speak to the Atascadero representative. They were the lowest, so I wanted to see how they do it. And when the question was presented to them, they answered what the city's building permit fees were. They didn't ask what it would be when it's sent out to their plan check agency. So it was $273 plus what it costs for California code check to do that. So the fees that were represented in the paper and by the Sierra Club may not be accurate as to the fees actual projects get charged.
Okay. I don't know that answered the question. You know, are we the most expensive? B2, should we wait? All right, David, we're going to wait until we get to the item, and then we're going to nail this down. And if we are indeed charging $30,000, you know, then we'll address that. It is out of sight. No argument there. Brian Stacy, you know, we're going to Washington. Are you still in the room? There you are. In a couple of weeks, we'll call our Susan. Maybe you can help us here. Call Del Smith, and we can see what we can do about helping the fishermen with some money, the salmon fishermen. The Nature Conservancy, I mean, that's a private group. I'll write them a letter. I will commit that to you right now and encourage them to, you know, give these permits to our local fishermen first. That's about all we can do since they're not a private organization. And Mr. Markinson, you know, I stand by with what I said last time. If you want to get an advocacy group in here, just go for it. We feel on solid legal ground, and so at this time we're not inclined to change our public comment, but we thank you for your input, and we thank everybody. We're going to take a break now, 10 minutes. I'll be out front if anybody wants to talk to me, and thanks for all for being here.
That was a long one, huh? Is that what it was?
Okay, we're going to knock out the consent calendar. A1 has been pulled off the agenda. A6 was dealt with earlier. Does anybody want to pull any items on this side? On this side, then can I hear a motion approving items A2, A3, A4, A5, and A7?
So moved.
Question, please. A5, didn't we already do the autism awareness?
No.
Oh, okay, thank you. Sorry. A second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. We are at public hearings now. Item B1, Andrea.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Item B1 is consideration of an amendment to the Morro Bay Municipal Code, Title 5, adding Chapter 5.5, establishing regulations and procedures entitled Medical Marijuana Collectives and Cooperatives. And I will turn this staff report over to Mr. Schultz.
Good evening, Council. The purpose of this agenda item is to provide City Council with an opportunity to review the current status of federal and state law relating to medical marijuana dispensaries and to provide staff with further direction purpose. Thus, notwithstanding the Compassionate Use Act, those using or distributing marijuana for medical reasons could still be prosecuted under federal law. And in fact, Charles Lynch, who owned and operated a medical marijuana dispensary in Morro Bay, was prosecuted for violating various federal laws related to marijuana possession and cultivation. Therefore, as I've said over and over in previous staff reports, there currently exists, and it's been a long-standing conflict between California and federal law regarding medical marijuana, and for these reasons, many cities in California have banned medical marijuana dispensaries. In 2009, after reviewing the current status of federal and state law, the City Council banned medical marijuana dispensaries in Morro Bay. In 2010, the City Council again reviewed the current status of federal and state law and directed my office to form a subcommittee and to draft an ordinance and selected guidelines to allow medical marijuana dispensaries in Morro Bay. As a result of those subcommittee meetings and many hours of research, we've come up with a draft ordinance. This is only a draft. It's not first reading, but the ordinance does provide a requirement for any facility, a medical marijuana facility, to obtain a permit. It requires a taxation for sales tax. It limits the number and location of dispensaries. It prohibits operators with a criminal history other than marijuana related from operating and owning a medical marijuana dispensary. It controls access by non-patients and minors. It limits the days and hours of operation. It prohibits on-site and open public consumption, and it requires staff training and various other items in the ordinance. It also provides guidelines as to how the two would be selected. Former council member Winholtz brought up many questions, and one being, you know, she thought earlier we were only talking about one, and that is correct. The subcommittee talked about two and three. The ordinance has two, but that certainly is a policy decision for you to make. Also, with regards to the square foot for the receptor issue and how far it needs to be from those sensitive receptors, that two has been discussed as 500, 600, and 1,000 feet. So that will be another policy question. So again, I've reviewed and analyzed, and so has the subcommittee and people that have participated in that, many, and several ordinances and reports. You know, it's a difficult issue in that there's strong public interest in medical marijuana use and its ability to help with many illnesses. However, allowing MMDs is not without serious concerns, both from permitting stage and making sure that they're regulated properly so they don't have secondary effects. But I've tried to draft an ordinance that at least gets you that first stage. There are some already. Every time I look at it, there are little nuances that have to be corrected. Another policy decision is exactly who would be the body that would review these. Currently, it's under the city manager's authority, and that was done primarily to take it out of a political arena and put it just in a city manager in an administrative role so that it wouldn't be a political issue. I think that's all I have for now, unless there's any other questions as to the ordinance, and I'll turn it back to the mayor.
Thank you, Rob. Questions for Rob? No?
Yeah, thank you. I have a question regarding, it's a follow-up to public comments about the sheriff's report or sheriff's statement on the issue. Do you have an update for us about that?
The sheriff's department has come out with draft guidelines. I'm not even sure if they're available to the public yet. I have reviewed those. But I do understand he's coming out with his own guidelines on how medical marijuana dispensaries can comply with California law and, I guess, not get in trouble.
Do you have an anticipated time frame for that final report?
No, I don't. Where they were at right now in draft, though, I would make an educated guess to 3 to 6 months. I know it's something that Sheriff Parkinson wants to deal with fairly quickly.
Okay. If we proceed tonight, we could certainly request that you contact their department to get some feedback from them before a first hearing.
Yes.
Another question that's come up is a concern that if we proceed as suggested, that with the way it's laid out currently, that one entity could corner the market for available space to open a storefront. And with the way that you've set up, do you see that being a potential problem? And how are we going to avoid that, if so?
Thinking about.
So we could address that between now and the first reading, potentially. My next question is to Ms. Luker. You obviously know you're currently identified as the lead for the reviewing body for these proposals, and I just wanted to know if you had thought about, if that's the way we go forward, if you'd thought about the composition of that body.
Rob Schultz and I have spent a little bit of time discussing that. Haven't spent a lot of time in terms of composition of that body at this point. Feeling it's a little bit premature at this time.
Okay. Those are my questions for now.
I just have one question. I guess it's for clarification on 5.5070 about the sales tax under the business license tax liability. I guess I'm not understanding how we enforce that if it's not taxable. Because you put in there the last sentence, retail sales of goods, merchandise, including medical marijuana, subject to sales tax.
Yes, we're saying it all is. That all sales, including the sale of medical marijuana, they wouldn't have the ability. Well, let me step back. Previously, what some of the medical marijuana dispensaries were saying is that we're not actually selling the medical marijuana. What we're doing is we're selling our kind of like doctor services, telling them which one is the best. Pay us $50, and we'll tell you which medical marijuana is the best type for your illness. And that then the $50 wouldn't be. By our ordinance, we're saying that $50 is a sale of medical marijuana, and you'll be required to tax that as a sales item.
And is that different than as how Mr. Lynch has operated?
Yeah. Mr. Lynch is, when he started, had the philosophy, although he was coming around to my interpretation of it, and the Board of Equalization has, it's a sale, it's a retail sale, just as any other item, and it must be taxed.
Because my understanding, I thought, based on past dialogue, was that there would have to be a tax ordinance passed to do this.
That's to do it more. The sales tax that I would, if we do move forward, would to do it more than the 8%. And that's what our sales tax is right now. So
A separate local tax versus
exactly.
That point of the state.
Oakland has an extra 10% on top of theirs, that local tax that goes directly to the city. But most cities now, and this is where this has come from, have gotten the medical marijuana dispensaries to agree to tax the medical marijuana as sales.
Thank you.
Well, let's hear from you. We'll open it up to public comment. So if anybody would like to speak on this issue, this would be the appropriate time. Please state your name. Please state your city of residence.
My name is David
Good
Nelson.
Evening, David.
I live in Morro Bay. And this is extortion. What do you charge people for chemotherapy medicine at Rite Aid? I don't think you do. I don't think any drugs that you get with a prescription from Rite Aid are taxed. I mean, this is just extortion. It's really sad. I mean, I don't have a marijuana card, but You know, if I needed one, I'd sure be mad to have to pay tax on a medicine that is legal in my state. I mean, it's kind of another embarrassment for Morro Bay. I mean, people look at this community and they see all these little weird things going on. What do you think they're thinking, you know? I mean, this isn't right. I mean, the people of California spoke in, what, 14 years ago? And we're still having this communication, and it's going crazy out there because everybody's doing underground stuff. Let's just do it right. It's a medicine. If you can charge people for their, you know, membership in this cannabis club or whatever you want to call it, that's fine. But to tax somebody who has to go and pay an exorbitant amount for a weed and then pay you 10% on top of that, I don't see how you can see anything except extortion. I mean, a lot of people actually need this. I know there's a stigma on pot that it's a fun drug or whatever, but there's lots of science, and I know that a lot of you people up there don't believe in science, but there's a lot of science to show it's a medical necessity, and people, and science rode the day and won the election. So many times we're told we have to abide by rules because this is the way the rules are set up. Well, these rules are set up. Let's abide by them by the way they're supposed to be set up. And they're not set up to extort and figure out ways to tax something that's not supposed to be taxed. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Please, let's not do that. We'd like to go next.
After, you know, in every election, and I'm somebody that, you know, as you know, does elections, there are people that are going to say, well, I didn't vote for that. And I did. And there's always people a little upset with how the elections come up, you know, the results come up, whether it's by a few votes or a lot of votes. But the fact of the matter is that's how we do business. And in this case, the people spoke. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Coming up.
Hi. Hello, Council. My name is Chris James. I'm a resident of Morro Bay. I think that Morro Bay and San Luis County, I don't know if you guys have jurisdiction over that, should allow safe access to medical marijuana because a lot of the people really need it. They're on hospice. They haven't been able to walk. These pills make them nauseous. These chemicals are putting into their body. They're not natural. People are looking for a way to medicate themselves where they can do it at low to no cost by obtaining the medicine by themselves. I've heard that there's like an outdoor ban on growing marijuana. It's really expensive to do it inside. I think that things should be changed and let the people be able to medicate themselves naturally and freely. About the taxes, I don't really have much to say about that, but I believe that there should be safe access, and I think that free enterprise in America should let as many people open as collectives as they can. That's my point of view. I'm Chris James. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Anybody else? Hi.
Hi, my name is Rich Donald. I'm a resident of Rio Grande, and I'm the chairman of the San Luis Obispo chapter of Americans for Safe Access. I just wanted to address a couple issues. There was a recent court decision, QPA versus Anaheim, where the issue of federal law was brought up, and if there was a conflict with states being able to allow medical marijuana laws to allow the sales. And what was said by the judge in that case is, we agree with the plaintiffs that trial court erred as a matter of law in concluding federal regulation of marijuana and the Controlled Substances Act preempted California's decision in the CUA and MMPA to decriminalize specific medical marijuana activities under state law. So therefore, the judgment was overturned, and the appellate court believes that California has the right to allow medical marijuana sales. So that was one issue. I also agree with the last speaker that there should be the application process has come up, I think is very good. I would like to see it so that if anyone was able to find a property where they would apply, they would be given consideration to open, that there should not be a limit on the number of dispensaries that did get open. And I just wanted to commend the City Council and the subcommittee for coming up with a very good ordinance.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good evening, Mayor.
Pull that down to you. There you go. Thanks.
Hi. I just wanted to offer...
Can you state your name and
residence? Oh, I'm sorry. Brenny Wilson, Atascadero. And I wanted to comment on a couple things this evening. One on the sales tax. I think it's imperative that you have a sales tax in the community, because you're going to have an additional cost, not only from your city, the time that's been put into this, but also your police department. And I would also support an additional tax, because it is, there is a lot of cost involved with this medicine. The second thing I wanted to address was the ordinance, and my suggestion would be to make it a two-part ordinance where you select the dispensaries that you want to offer, extend an invitation into the community, and then maybe select, narrow it down to five. You don't know how many applications you'll have. And after that, then have the people go out and select the location that they want to be in. And this would allow you to look at the location and also the people that would be operating to balance it, because there are situations out there where properties are being tied up by different people. And then the third suggestion is the ordinance ties it to the property, and the peril in that is things change. You might need redevelopment in an area, and it should really be based on the collective and somehow tied to the property, but not discreetly tied to the property, because you're putting your trust in the collective operators and for them to do the right job. And a property owner could say one minute have a lease agreement at $1,000 a month and then go up to $10,000 a month to where it wouldn't be affordable for the operators or their patients. And again, I champion Rob on his diligent efforts. The previous city council, Janice Peters, Noah, Rick Grantham, and everybody that's been involved, because it's been quite a process, and the city's done an excellent job. And hopefully we'll continue to move this forward. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for coming out. Anybody else? Hi.
Hi, Mary Yates, honorable council members. My name is Linda Hill. I am on the board of Americans for Safe Access, our localization, because of what continues to go on in our area. And possibly embarrassment or even shame to admit this to coworkers, friends, or people close to them. Please keep them in your mind strongly. Please allow this to go forward. There's been such a tremendous, laudable effort by your city attorney, the members on the subcommittee. We'd like to see this continue to go forward. And thank you. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Thanks, Linda. Anybody else? Going once, going twice, I'll bring it back to council. Thank you all for coming out, for being here, and especially to the speakers who came up and gave their viewpoint. I'd like to kind of get a sense of where we're at here. I'll go first. I mean, I'm a voter of the people guy, so I'm behind getting this going and getting this open, because to me the people have spoken, so that's pretty simple. So I'm pro, and I'd like to just make sure that we're not going to burn up a whole lot of time here if we're not all on the same page. So let's go to Carla. Nancy goes first.
Okay. I would rather not even discuss this tonight. I would like to wait and see what the sheriff's report has. My understanding is that it's our county sheriff's agency that will be working with the DEA in enforcement, and I just don't see any point in spending a lot of time coming up with a policy until we know what the sheriff's policy of enforcement is going to be. I have some other issues, but that's my basic one right now.
Would you care to speak, Carla?
Sure, thank you. I mean, I can go into my whole two-page dissertation, but I would probably support Nancy's comment in the sense that I have a concern, many concerns, and primarily the first one at this point then would be I did speak with Chief Olivas and asked what the county's position was on this. I would hate to set somebody up for failure in our city as we head down a path not knowing what the sheriff's enforcement's going to be, and apparently there's some discussion that he's considering ordinances similar to potentially San Mateo's, where they have a limited number of collective patients they allow, if we don't follow those same guidelines, to me, we're setting someone up for potential failure. So I would be concerned that we're getting ahead of the county and seeing where they're going to rule, considering how our past sheriff enforced it.
You know, I kind of think that I should hear from everybody, but I'm going to respond because of the sheriff thing and because I've had a conversation with Sheriff Parkinson, and we had lunch, and this was 30 minutes of our conversation. And what he said to me was, A, he's going to stay out of our business, and B, he wanted to see what we were going to offer. So I think if we start getting in, let's wait on the sheriff, and the sheriff's waiting on us, that, you know, it will never get done. So I didn't mean to interject, but I did. Let's go over here. George.
Well, you know how to take the wind out of somebody. I was going to repeat the same thing. It'd be kind of nice to see what the sheriff had in mind with this. That, you know, to me, there's just way too many unknowns here. And you go this way, and then you go that way on this. And I think it's just, I'd like to see us put this a little bit on hold right now and see if we can get more information. We're dealing with something here that the federal government does not like. I mean, what are we going to do? As soon as one of these dispensaries opens up, they're going to step in with their guns and badges and throw them out again? I mean, what's the stability here on the people even lasting if they do open up? And I just think that we just don't know enough yet. I feel like I don't, personally.
Noah?
Thanks. I definitely am interested in the sheriff's department's comments on this, and I appreciate your time meeting with him, because I think that's an important outreach tool to include them, but also make sure that we continue on with this process. We put a lot of time and effort into it so far. We've obviously taken a leadership role in the county, and I'm happy to hear that the sheriff's interested in how we see going forward and the most effective way to make sure that we're following the state's laws and avoiding putting ourselves too far in the lead. And I think the discussions that we've had at the subcommittee meeting have revolved around that. I'd suggest that tonight we actually do make some comments on some of the key policy choices in here, enough to give Mr. Schultz the opportunity to polish up these items from what he hears from our council tonight.
And I would submit that we should be in charge of our, what I'm hearing is, let's see what the sheriff, let's let the sheriff decide what the ordinance should be. And, you know, I think that we're Morro Bay. We should decide our ordinance here, not be waiting on the sheriff. Certainly communicate, share, but not allow him to be the driver of our ordinance. That would be my position. You may.
Thank you. First, a couple of things. I see a hierarchy of government here. We have the city of Morro Bay, we have the county, we have the state law, and then we have a federal law that's against this whole thing. I think it behooves us to see what our county ordinance is going to be, because they're a bit more powerful than the city of Morro Bay, as we've learned under a couple of different occasions. The other thing that I think we're missing is a key component of this whole discussion. We haven't heard anything from our police chief. And if we're going to do this in the city of Morro Bay, I think we need some discussion from our police chief.
Do you want to speak? I insist.
Well, I agree with Nancy. I know that that our police chief hasn't had much opportunity. My understanding would be that he hasn't had much opportunity to weigh in on this process. And I respect the vote of the people. I would question what was a confusing language in the ballot measure, with yes and is no, and no is yes, and the state was yes, and yes was yes, and no was it anyway. I think we have very limited resources right now for monitoring a collective dispensary, whatever word you want to use for it. And, you know, I always come back to questioning why we would be the only municipality in the county that's considering this. We, you know, I'd like to think we're smarter than everybody else, but then I wonder if they know something we don't. So I have more concerns probably, and at this point in time I'm not supportive of it until I can alleviate those concerns.
Okay, I don't know that we'll ever alleviate those who believe the yes is no, no is yes vote. You know, I put more faith in our voters that they knew what they were doing. Maybe there was a few of them, but it was a 5% spread, so I don't buy into that. But even if I did buy into it, the vote stands. The vote was the vote, and it's the vote of the people. So I have to stand behind that. My concern now is kind of the same as Noah's, that this gets stalled. I would like to keep the movement going. I mean, that's what all this is about tonight, is to take a look at the ordinance in the form that we have it. This is not a first reading. This is not the ordinance. This is the first draft, really, for public discussion and consumption. So are you guys, I mean, is there any hidden agenda here? Do you want to stop this from happening?
Is that a hidden agenda? I was the only dissenting vote, so I don't think it's a hidden agenda for me.
Maybe that was a bad choice of words, but I'll retract that and apologize. If that's the agenda, let's just state it, you know.
I took an oath of office to uphold the law, and the federal law is a violation. Whether I believe in this or not, that's the law.
And I understand
whether I believe
that
in it or not. And when Mr. Lynch was running his business here, it was over a $2 million business in 1 year's time with over 2,000 customers. And that's the kind of traffic you're going to be bringing in and driving into this community. The stakeholders, for me, are the citizens of this community, and I'm concerned about what that will hold for us as we head down this path again that we were down once before.
Well, I'm good. Let's just put the cards on the table.
I'm going to agree with Carla. I have the same concerns. We took an oath. I saw George raise his hand over there. It's against the federal law. I know the citizens of Morro Bay have voted for this. And as a city council member elected by the people in Morro Bay, I know we have to find a way to work this out. But I don't think we're there yet. I think there are other things we need to know before we can start to develop this. I have no hidden agenda. I have read a lot of research.
I retracted the word hidden.
Okay. You know, I did go out and do a lot of research when this came up during the campaign, and I, in all honesty, was one of the supporters of the...
Sure to invite the chief in here here shortly. I say the more people that come to town, great. If Charlie Lynch brought 2,000 customers to town, great. That's more people going out to lunch and more people going in the stores, and you know, the pot smokers are hungry. They got to go to lunch. You know, I don't know what infrastructure you're talking about. It's anything. You know, I hate to go for this one, but I mean, I'm just basically pro anything that brings people to town. I think that's a good thing.
May I answer that?
Sure.
Okay, number one, the thing I've heard over and over again is that these people are terribly ill for them, and they aren't going to be coming into town and going out to lunch or going shopping, either one. They're going to come in, they're going to get their medical marijuana with their care provider, which I still haven't seen clearly defined, and go home. I don't think they're going to have lunch, and I don't think they're going to walk the Embarcadero and buy T-shirts.
Then what would the infrastructure problem be?
The traffic.
That seems like, excuse me if I
you
jump
may.
In.
Please.
Okay. I agree with the ladies here around these people that are this ill, that need this product. And, of course, I'm not a medical doctor or anything like that, but I don't quite understand that. But I've seen people that probably marijuana could help them in their illness. But you know what? These people that are that ill are going to drive over to Morro Bay. Why are they still can? You know, I hear that you still can have this stuff delivered to your house. So I'm thinking if I was that sick and I was living in Paso Robles, rather than going to Morro Bay, I just have it delivered to my house. I don't get it. I just don't understand this whole thing. I'm just nervous about that. We're the only ones, the only one in the whole county that is taking this upon us. And I right now I'm not saying that, you know, that marijuana won't be here. It's just I feel that it's too soon. That we just don't have enough knowledge. We haven't heard from our police department like this yet. And the sheriff is out there investigating things. There's just too many unknowns. I feel like that. I realize the city's people, the voters, voted on this, and they did vote it in. Bill's answer to that. I've had a lot of people come to me and say, you know, I screwed up my vote, but Bill's right. You know, you should have paid attention to what you were voting on. But I just wonder if it's on the ballot again. I wonder if it'd pass. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But.
So you want the last word here before you get into the nitty-gritty, and we'll let the chief talk.
Okay, thanks. You know, in response, I think that's exactly what we are doing tonight, is addressing, or at least starting the process of addressing those concerns that you pointed out, and the concern of the impacts to our law enforcement and the pressure that this could create, the impacts to infrastructure in that area. Those are all things that I think we're trying to cover and address in this ordinance. So I'm uncomfortable with the idea that we'd let those concerns or those challenges hold up the process. I think that's what we should let drive the process. And I find it to be fairly exciting to think that we, as you know, we've had a lot of trouble funding different departments and positions. And if crime prevention is a really key element to this, then let's make sure we build into this ordinance ability for us to fund and cover those costs. I think that's a potential option that we could explore further and make sure that as a city we're not taking the step and creating a lot of risk and extra expense that we're not going to be covering. So those are elements to this that I we should be discussing and identifying as key challenges and then moving forward with the process. And obviously this is just the first step with this council at a hearing or at a discussion level in the public forum. So I hope we move forward. And if there's one thing that I do know about where we are as a society is we have such an amazing problem with the black market trade that is unregulated, underground, and unknown. And a lot of that is funded by a marijuana trade that at this point we have no ability to control. And it's pretty clear that we are not going to gain that ability without identifying legal ways for those that want to follow the rules and regulations to be able to abide by the law and actually achieve access. So,
Chief, I'm not going to ask you a question because I think every question I come up with, somebody's going to. So I'm just going to give you the opportunity to make a statement.
Good evening and thank you. I would like to just start off by stating that I recognize the fact there are patients with serious illnesses that could have a need for medicinal marijuana. I'm compassionate and sympathetic to those needs. But as the police chief, I also have to consider that my primary responsibility is the health and safety of this entire community. It's a very difficult issue and very complicated, as you could see from the conversations tonight. There's no easy way to wrap up this in short. I had numerous pages of talking points, which I've narrowed down to a very short few. Some of the concerns I have are similar to council members. There's several issues. Primary caregiver status and meeting that standard is difficult for storefront operations. The term dispensary, as opposed to collectives or cooperatives, which what are actually allowed by state law. Secondary concerns related to crime associated, whether it's to the medicinal marijuana or just the amount of people coming into town. Health concerns for patients because of the regulations or lack of for how the product is grown. Impacts on a small agency like ours that is already strapped. So at this time, bringing forward an ordinance to regulate marijuana collectives or cooperatives, storefronts, causes me concerns also because of the state and federal conflicts. Some of these concerns were outlined in the staff report by the city attorney. In addition to those concerns and just the brief introduction of what I've said, I also think we have an obligation. We are still in the county of San Luis Obispo, even though we are Morro Bay, to have conflicts within our own agencies that have jurisdiction. I think that sets businesses up potentially for failure, which I think is a dangerous road to go down, in addition to the conflicts with federal laws. So I believe moving forward at this time with our own ordinance, like I stated, would put businesses in jeopardy, and I think we should at a minimum wait. The Attorney General, we have a new Attorney General that is potentially going to look at revisions to the guidelines that the state put out also. So to put our ordinance in place with those conflicts still out there, I think it would be unfair to businesses at this time. Thank you.
Any questions for the chief? No questions for the chief. Okay, I guess my concern is, you know, what I'm hearing from the chief and from others is, you know, wait. It's, you know, how long do we wait for the sheriff? How long do we wait for the attorney general? You know, 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, 3 years, which is why I'm a proponent of proceeding. If the attorney general comes out with guidelines that conflict with ours, we can change the ordinance. I'm just with Noah and, you know, discuss these things and keep the movement going. But I am not in favor of keeping the movement going if it's the council majority's view that they don't want this, which is why I asked about the agenda and made that terrible mistake I made with that word. Because if it's going to come back and it's just going to be stalled and then 3 months and stall and 6 months stall and, you know, let's wait for this, let's wait for that, and really the agenda is that, you know, to stop them, let's just say it now and stop the process and not be wasting the city attorney's time or the public's time or our time. Which is why I really, you know, I get a sense from pretty strong from two of you. I'm not sure about you, Nancy, but I'm sensing that you're on that side, and that's three of you. And if the three of you are, if your heels are, if that's why I'm searching for the agenda, the true agenda. If your heels are dug in, just say it, and let's be done with this. That's what I say. Otherwise, I'm with Noah. You know how I am, and let's keep the thing moving. But to wait, I am not a proponent of waiting.
May I answer that? Oh, I'm sorry, George, you first.
No, I just, the first thing that we say when we bring one of these dispensaries in is the next words out of our mouth is crime. Isn't that amazing that we would even be thinking about something like this that has the potential to bring crime into our town? We're already fighting gang. I mean, the other cities around us are fighting gangs right now. It just seems like that we were talking about something here that we just really got to look.
I think between the three of us up here and our police chief, we just listed a whole lot of things that concerns, you know, you were talking about discussing our concerns so we could move forward. We just came up with a whole lot of questions that I think need to be answered before we take the next step. Now, if one of your concerns is what the sheriff is going to do and when he's going to do it, or what the new attorney general is going to do and when, then maybe we need to say, all right, let's put some kind of a time frame into this. In 60 days, let's come back, have staff come back with the answers to these questions that we've come up with. And if the sheriff and the attorney general haven't done their thing, we're still going to have to take the next step. But I don't think we can do it now.
We are not here to pass an ordinance. We're here to have the exact discussion that we're having.
We just did.
Yeah.
And I think we have three people on this board who are ready to leave it there and get our questions answered.
That, you know, that's exactly the what the outcome of this, you know, I was hoping would be. But, you know, if we're going to kill it, that's all I was trying to drive at and trying to get an answer that...
I do not want to kill it. Is that clear?
That's clear.
Thank you.
So we're cool. So,
I want to proceed cautiously.
Well, that would be the normal thing, is to go through the process we're going through now and then bring it back and get these questions answered and refine the ordinance. And then, you know, I will not be a proponent of bringing it back for a first reading. Let's bring it back again for another discussion like we're doing tonight. You know, I think 30 days probably isn't long enough, and 60 days sounds too long to me. I maybe can compromise at 45 days.
Sure.
Just to keep the momentum going. You can handle 45 days, can't you? You can handle that, Chief, can't you? Get some of these questions answered that pertain to you.
Certainly. I'm not sure which ones exactly pertain to me, but we'll find out.
Crime, just, you know, what is the impact of this on crime, for instance, is a question that has come up, and that would be in your bailiwick, I would think, that type of question.
I will certainly do my best.
Yes, Carla.
Primary care status. I mean, Mr. Lynch had 2,000 patients.
Are you jotting all this down, Rob?
The question is great. Primary care status. There's been a change in allowing medical carts to go from 8 ounces to 6 pounds. So is there going to be anything written in there that's going to regulate any of that, or is it just based on the medical cards? You know, so we're going to have people coming in to pick up 6 pounds a day. I have a lot of concerns about that, with the care status and the quantities. And I would say to Mr. Smuckler, with respectfully, when you said they voted it in, the vote was to not ban dispensaries, and I think there's a difference. It's not voting it in. The vote was to not ban them. So
I think it's kind of implicit in the question, are we okay with having them in our community or not? And clearly not is a ban, and a non-ban is...
But it left the decision to us.
Okay. Anything?
I was just going to add that I think, as our chief officer here, it would be nice to encourage our chief of police to have a real dialogue with the county sheriff as to where they're going with this, and maybe that way we could find out if they're waiting for us or we're waiting for them or where we are in that situation.
I suspect, not to speak for the chief, but knowing how he operates and knowing that he has a dialogue with the sheriff, that he's going to share with the sheriff everything that's happened here tonight, and that dialogue is ongoing. Am I correct about that, chief?
Yes, we have a great working relationship with the sheriff, and I would share information with him as he would with me.
And
thank
so,
you.
And we can trust him to, you know, bring that back and share it with us, and so we're all on the same page. And over here,
so
do you have all your questions out? I sense you don't.
Yeah, well, I have a few other concerns that I was hoping to introduce to the next round. A couple of elements that I think are important for us to bring back with a little more detail in this 45-day period. I would like to have a better definition of the concept for the selection committee. I think that's a very important thing for us to start to discuss and develop. I've advocated from the beginning that some sort of a local sourcing element is important, so that we are able to have some regulation and oversight and understanding about the source of the medicine that's going to be distributed. I know that's a challenge. We need to make sure that that's not something that's a possibility.
to the best degree. Obviously, working with the Sheriff's Department, we've addressed that. I agree that we need to make sure that we've done our best to quantify potential city costs and impacts, and that we're developing a plan that covers those so the city is not going to be losing money or losing a lot of resource time on this. And then obviously the quantity limits, I completely agree with that as well.
Do you have anything else, George?
No.
That's a lot. That's a lot of stuff. That's good. Anything else over here? Then I think we're going to leave it there. If you've got that long list of stuff to bring back.
And certainly I can bring back all of those type of topics and changes to the ordinance. The only one that I think out of all of those that I kind of need a little bit of direction from, if you want to have a little bit of a discussion on it, is that selection committee. Do you see that being a council participating in that selection process or not participating in it? And that's probably an issue that I don't know, I haven't got any direction on. Right now, it does not include the city council, and maybe some input on that, because I don't know how to change it without some input.
Let me start, because Rob knows what I'm a proponent of, and I'm a proponent of not politicizing this process. And I know many of you out there have invited me to lunch or invited to meet with me, and I've been resistant. Because I don't want it politicized, because really what you're doing is you're trying to sell us on you. And I understand that, and I understand that process, and we go through it with most everything. But in this particular case, I personally, not speaking for you guys, I don't want to be sitting up here in judgment of you. John comes and he makes his case, and then Joe comes and he, and then Karen comes, and we're sitting in judgment of people. So the staff knows this. I am a proponent of we stay out of it. The Planning Commission stays out of it, because it's the same thing. Then you've got the Planning Commissioner sitting in judgment on applicants. And the city attorney has provided a draft of a score sheet, and let staff, let the police chief and the city manager and the city attorney and anybody else who they think is relevant make this choice and keep us out of it. That's just my personal feelings. Who would like to speak next? Noah, would you like to go next?
If I can. I'd actually like to ask if you have a model that we've used for other RFPs or other review bodies that you think might be worthwhile, and particularly one that has an element of Morro Bay resident involvement outside of the council, because I agree, I think it just gets really political if we are involved in that decision.
And if that's the council's direction, yes, we can do that. My idea would be that selection committee would be selected by the city manager, but I don't think her or any other staff would be sitting on that, because even it gets political with me. People are always asking me to go to lunch and get to know me, and I don't want to be on that selection committee either. So I think it would be not known to anyone until that time when the interviews and the information comes in, and you know the makeup of that we can decide how it would be. But you know, I think that's going to be more some way finding a way that we don't put it in the political arena and start having that type of free for all. But so we can certainly frame them how you want it—a business owner, a residence, you know, someone with some type of, you know, background in agriculture even. I don't know. We could come up with those. I think the more issue is did you see council participating or not? And if it's not, then we can come up with some examples for you. But if it's yes, we want council involved in that process, then I have to head a different direction.
Okay. Just to follow up on that, I think it would be important, though, to have key members of staff that represent departments such as the police department or building and planning that will be key in evaluation, the yearly inspection and monitoring, those things, because they're going to be so closely involved with the process going forward. So that's just my opinion. I would like to see representatives from those key departments and staff members, along with some civilian representative.
George? On the subject, you okay with that? Nancy? talking about?
I know what we're talking
okay.
about.
Sorry.
And I'm going to disagree with Noah respectfully. I don't think we should involve citizens in this, but, and I would agree with you, and I was just sitting here making a list of who some of the people are I think should be, and I think they should be city employees.
I have been a proponent also of let the application speak for themselves, and I mean, obviously at some point there has to be interviews, but certainly initially I agree. Take the names off the applications, judge the applications on the basis of what they turn in, and score them appropriately. Rob, are you getting the sense here that I think we're we have a consensus that we don't want to be involved, we don't want another commission to be involved? I think Andrea, I don't have this sense, let me just make sure I've got, Andrea should be in charge of this. I mean, she's the city manager, so we would put Andrea. That doesn't mean she has to serve on it, but she can be the conductor. And what else do we need? I'm with the non-citizen thing. I think you're outnumbered there. Keep it to staff. Keep it as objective as you can.
I think we need someone from planning, as I said.
Well, we just...
Because it's a land use issue.
We just said we're going to give the...
Give Andrea. Okay, let's give Andrea the job of deciding.
Yeah, I think you've answered it to where, at least to write the selection process in the ordinance, it would be not the city council.
So you will come back in 45 days or less. And we will... You will fine-tune the ordinance, although we haven't really picked it apart too much except on what's been discussed, like words like dispensary and a selection committee. That's not part of the ordinance.
But I've gotten feedback from members of the public, you know, since it was presented, and you know, I welcome any other members of the public can get a redline version of it. They can submit their comments. You can, too, council, in the next... you know, 30 days, and we'll bring it back as a draft, not a first reading.
Okay, and I know it's another 45 days, and I know that the process, you know, it got slowed down tonight, but we do have a consensus here to keep it moving, and we will keep it moving, and we will have this back at the appropriate meeting that's around 45 days. I will make sure of that. So is there anything else on this subject? Then that's it for this. We just give this a minute here and let the thank you, Chief. B2, Mrs. Luker.
Mayor Yates, certainly happy to move forward with B2. Would you and the council consider perhaps addressing the marketing contract? That's the majority of our audience, but it's certainly up to you. Wanted to throw that out.
Okay. Happy to do it, if there's no objections from council.
Well, I would probably want to see if anyone's here to speak on the public item first, just by a show of hands or something, so we're not making them wait.
Anybody here on item B2? Would you mind if we put this marketing contract in front of that? It's going to take long. All right, let's do B2.
I'm sorry, I tried to infringe on your process, and I'll just go back. I'm happy to present item B2. It's concerning goals and the budget priorities for 2011. Briefly, a little bit of history. In November of 2007, the City Council determined that it was important to have a goal-setting process. You've conducted a goal-setting process for the last several years, and we were continuing with that process tonight through the staff report. In addition, we're beginning the process of preparing our 2011-2013 biennial budget. And as the goals might tie directly into the budget preparation or may have a significant impact on the budget preparation, we're requesting tonight that you provide input in the preparation of the budget document. However, should you feel that we need to have a separate meeting concerning that, we'd certainly be happy to arrange that. We ask that that be done in the near future because we are needing to prepare the budget in mid-March. revenue and expenditure projections have not yet been completed for the upcoming budget process. However, it's anticipated that if the city continues with the goals that were established last year, including the direction on pension reform, we're confident that we can bring to you a structurally sustainable balanced budget. However, since the major revenue sources for the city are fairly stable at this point, including a slight increase in both transient occupancy tax, property tax, and flat sales tax figures, the biennial budget is certainly not anticipated to have any significant additional funding available above and beyond previous years. Briefly, last year you established three priority goals, and those were Goal A, to develop and maintain a structurally sustainable budget, Goal B, to maintain infrastructure, and Goal C, to develop a plan to ensure that power plant lease negotiations result in the highest and most beneficial return for the community. You also.
I'll go to Nancy. Yeah.
What do you?
I think the priority goals are probably as they should be. I remember sitting through some of those meetings for some silly reason. I had a couple of questions. Is this the time to ask questions, or do you want to do that later?
Nope. Do everything you want to do.
Okay. Then we're going to do public comment after my questions?
No public comment. Oh, yes, this is a public hearing.
Yes, dear.
I'm so sorry. Yep. What's wrong? Go ahead.
Okay. We're doing this part first.
Do whatever you want to do.
Can I go home now? Okay. Just my first general comment would be, I know we've always had a two-year plan, budget plan. I would like to see us go to a real long-range five-year budget plan someday and do some serious long-term planning. But other than that, now getting back to the specific questions. Under priority goals, number two, establish a balance between what we spend on promotion and the results that we get. Which is another item for tonight. A says identify how the city's return on investment from promotion expenditures can be quantified. Current, completed, and in progress. Two staff reports, blah, blah, blah. I didn't see anything that told me how you're actually quantifying this.
I think that's the million-dollar question. And
oh, goody.
That really, I think, nobody has a good answer for. Certainly we've heard tonight, and I guess we're going into a little bit of the even dealing with marketing. We certainly hope as we increase our marketing efforts, our TOT increases. And I think the question is our increased TOT directly related to our increased marketing? We can say yes, and we hope it is, but could it be due to the fact that June was an incredibly warm month and people came in? So I think that there's a lot of things that we can tie into. Can we black and white say, you know, this is a result of increased marketing dollars? Our TOT, increased TOT is a direct result of our increased marketing dollars? No. We haven't addressed specifically the return investment from the visitor center. You know, we've been dealing with visitor center issues, and we continue to deal with those. We're bringing back a staff report to you in April. But specifically that issue, no, we have not addressed it.
Okay, thank you. My only other one is under 5A, consider implementing paid parking in city-owned lots. I know that the Tidelands Park launch ramp parking has been going on for a while, and I was wondering how close we are to paying off the cost of getting that set up, and once that is done, will the money go back into the parking lot maintenance, or will it go into a parking in lieu fee or general fund? Where does it go?
I see Sue reaching for the microphone. I think she's probably got the specifics on where we are in terms of perhaps paying that off.
I did look at the income that we have received to date from the parking. We did set up a separate department within our budget so that we could track that specifically, and we have just about reached the point where we have paid for the initial installation costs and the purchase of the equipment and the initial maintenance fees, modems, and associated things we needed to get it going. We may next year see approximately $15,000 to $20,000 in revenue. We do. There is an ongoing cost of approximately $175 a month for credit card reporting, modems, phone fees, those kind of things. But I do anticipate that by next year we should be seeing some positive revenue, and our intention is to use that in repair and upkeep of the launch ramp parking lot, and that's why we did segregate it into a separate area so that we could keep track of it and make sure it stays in that area.
Thank you. Then my last question is on, well, actually there are a couple down here on the last page, other goals. Continue working with commercial sector to support local businesses. And I was wondering how that's going with the chamber, who apparently now have an economic development committee. Are we working with them at all yet?
We've had some initial discussions with the chamber on their economic development committee. I believe it's still in the formation stages, but we will be working with them.
Okay, and the last, and then I'm through, the offering enhanced public and alternative transportation opportunities, the friendly ride sharing, the possibility of moving, I know it's not Dial-A-Ride anymore, but out of that building and over to the senior center so they can work more closely together, is that moving along?
Ticket items, and so I wonder how we're actually going to eventually prioritize specifics within, you know, some of its infrastructure, some of its planning. But at some point, I see the need for us to have that deeper discussion about which of these is really key to the council and which probably need to wait until we have more resources to deal with it. That's a general question that I have before I continue.
You know, I think on some things, like the possible foot bike bridge over the creek. You know, we've talked with SLOCOG about funding. They've indicated that they can fund it, possibly. I talked about your bike racks recently, too. If all of a sudden we get funding for a project like that, it's going to get front burnered. It's like George's rock lot. You know, George knows that we don't have the money to do that, but I'm investigating it and keeping him in the loop. Looking for funding. We can find some funding, then it gets front burnered. But, you know, in the meantime, they're just wish list things. That's how I see these big capital ideas that come up.
I guess then I'm thinking about our plan going forward, and Mrs. Johnson's comments about a five-year budget plan really struck me as an important thing to start to consider and potentially develop a better idea about how that could help us and have a conversation about that. Another thing that's been suggested is the development of a capital projects plan to help make sure that we have a working roadmap of how which projects are really key and how we could potentially get there over a longer period of time. So both of those seem like important planning efforts that we should consider initiating and would definitely require some time on the part of our staff. Generally, well, I think I'll wait to make my comments until after public comment.
Carla, anything?
I'll wait till after public comment.
Okay, if any member of the public would like to address us on this item, this would be the appropriate time. Good evening, David. So nice to see you.
Me again, David Nelson, Morro Bay. Yeah, I'd like to see, you know, I've sat around for the last 10 years, and I haven't seen any real street repairs going on in our town. About 10 years ago, Mayor Anderson painted them all, but, you know, since then, there's no real street repairs going on. I mean, potholes that, you know, eat your car get taken care of, but like I was pointing out earlier, that up on Juniper, right by our tank on Elena, the street's all but washed away there. I mean, there's gullies, and it's a high traffic with our trucks going in and out of our tank. Nobody seems to care about that. They patched the road 50 yards down, 50 feet down the street with a similar thing, but they couldn't come up to the up by the tank and fix that. And, you know, just our infrastructure. I mean, we talk about spending $750,000 on promoting the city. Then people come in here and they get a flat tire with their BMW hitting a rut down on Main Street there and by Lemus. I mean, the roads are beat up. I mean, let's pray. If we're going to set priorities, I know we can't do them all, but let's set priorities. When I first moved here, Morro Bay had a street department, and we took care of our own streets. I mean, go into the beach track down there. I know that it was annexed or whatever in 64, and it was underbuilt, but that makes no difference. If you go down a beachcomber and drive that along the beach, those roads are going to wash away. They're going to, you know, they're beachcomber especially. I drive there, and if you go at the end of Beachcomber, Hatteras, I guess, is the street. When you turn on there, the street's almost completely sand. I mean, the tar is broken away. My friend lives on Beachcomber, and, you know, out in front of his house, there's sinkholes and stuff going on. I mean, we have to pay attention to this, and it's been going on for years without paying attention to it. So let's prioritize doing a little bit every year. I mean, I'm not saying let's go and do the whole thing. It would be great if you find funds to do that. And maybe you should, you know, instead of spending money on consultants to tell us how to do stuff, hire somebody who specializes in grants, because there's a lot of money out there. I see it coming over my computer. I've sent it off to the council people that sat here the last time about funding directions, and nobody follows it because everybody's too busy. So take the money you spend for a consultant and have somebody writing grants and give them, you know, a bonus at the end of the grant periods when they bring in money, because money is being spent out there. I mean, don't have the illusion that everybody's broke, because there's a lot of money being spent. And, you know, just to see is a good example how much money's laying around there that doesn't get spent because they have discretion on it.
That's an impossible goal under the current budget, is disingenuous. Okay, what we really need to do is work on bringing more revenues into the city, and I look forward to the next item. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Anybody else? Anybody? I'll bring it back to council. Who wants to speak? First one that gets my attention.
Sure, nobody? I'll jump in.
You find money in it? And no one's going to find the money.
Well, a couple of things just for the public to know. Ms. Luker reviewed them, but goal 1A is our budget. Let's create a structurally sustainable budget. Goal B, it's the second goal, it's the priority goal, is our infrastructure. So at this point, if we proceed with similar goals as we have last year, those are the top two priorities in this next budget, and I expect that that's exactly the direction I hope we continue with. As far as some specifics, I spoke to the concept of a capital plan to help us stay organized, and Ms. Johnson spoke about a five-year budget plan. I'd like to see some elements of that considered. I appreciate Mr. Livick's work so far on the pavement management plan for the public's knowledge. That's one effort to actually start to address our streets in a organized, thoughtful manner that maximizes the resources that we have and starts to address that, and I expect that will be coming to the council. So that's a step in that direction. A couple of things that aren't mentioned here that I think have risen to the point where we need to put some effort. One, it's a modest investment of time and infrastructure investment, but it revolves around the urban forest, and we have quite a few issues that have developed there, and right now we have an amazing amount of work going into it from volunteers and participation from staff, but I think it's time for us to consider a better plan, developing a plan for the first time for the city that gives us the ability to manage the forest in a way that's thinking about the long term with our short term decisions, and the potential of us accomplishing an urban forest management plan is good working with interns and real modest investments. So I'd like to start that discussion at some point and actually give our staff the ability to research and evaluate the potential cost and time investment there. And that's one thing that I'd like to float. The other, Ms. Johnson also brought it up, is with transit. I really think that it's time for us to move more quickly and with more focus on the community volunteerism with Dial-A-Ride and the community bus concept, and I'd like to actually suggest that we form a subcommittee with the council. There's obvious need for some support from the council and the city on this, but it really needs to be generated by community volunteers, and that requires a larger discussion. So I'd submit that we should have a subcommittee from the council and a staff member reach out to some potential community groups such as the senior citizens and really start to look at the larger details of how that could be structured and move it forward in a more focused way. So that is one other element. The other thing that really isn't mentioned in our goals, and I'm surprised if it is, correct me, but you know, we have our general plan and our local coastal plan still at the Coastal Commission level, and you know, so much depends on us resolving that, and so I'd like to see us develop a strategy and clearly start to define how we're going to resolve that challenge in the next year or two. So those are some key things that I think we should make sure are considered as we move forward.
Well, you're going to, I guess we're going to need to seek a consensus on this. I don't agree with everything that Noah's saying as far as making it a priority. So I hear him. Maybe we should just take these one at a time. What was the first one, urban forest?
It was requesting staff to look at an internship possibility to develop an urban forest management plan. It's mostly an informational item that then we could decide on.
You know, I'm all for urban forests. I'm all for trees, but I'm not all for making this one of our priorities. Let's just take it one at a time.
I'd probably refer it to PWEB to work on it rather than staff, tasking staff with that.
George?
This brings money in, and we've got a lot to talk about here.
Can we just take that, put that to PWEB now? How's that? How's Noah?
My only concern with that is that Mr. Woods is the key element there in his department with the urban forest at this point with the organization. Does that work for you, Mr. Woods?
Sure.
I'm agreeing with Noah and Carla both, but I'm thinking that since Mr. Woods has been more involved, maybe rather than having the PWEB look at it, we should ask the Recreation and Parks Board to spend some time looking at this and talking about it, see what they can come up with.
If that's the mood of council to give them that assignment, I would give it to both of them, I would think, or one at a time, but they should work in concert. You can't leave, I mean, I'm suggesting they shouldn't leave Public Works Advisory Board out of this.
Second is the community bus and volunteer program, the subcommittee concept.
And how would you do the subcommittee?
Well, I would suggest that we select two members of the council that would then go out and basically hold a meeting with some of the key stakeholders that have expressed some interest or have been involved, including a staff member or two, and have a very open roundtable discussion about the idea, and that we could report back to the council on the possibilities.
I would support this because I think we're transit deficient, and
we, Council Member Smuckler and myself, actually met with the city manager on this issue and want to see if we can do it where it's not taking staff time or a lot of staff time, maybe the city manager, and getting together with some of the potential stakeholders to see if we can help develop it.
Yeah. Well, I would support that Carla and Noah are the subcommittee and they get together and they work on this. You know, I mean,
hey,
it was his suggestion. It's his suggestion, yeah. The two council members. And you guys have worked on it, so I mean, I don't mean to be loading any, you know, you can refuse.
Yeah, okay. It'll be fun.
All right, what was the last one, Noah?
The last one was talking about the general plan and local coastal plan.
I'm going to look at Andrea on this one.
I know right now we've got a huge red line version of the general plan, local coastal plan. We were at one point meeting with council members, a couple of council members, to review it, and that's where we stopped. And I don't believe we've gotten any further direction on it at this point. But I'll turn over to Rob if he has his two cents.
Yeah, I think that's it's an adequate representation of where we are. We were going through with a subcommittee of former council member Winholtz, and former Mayor Peters. We've picked that up a little bit from a staff level and developed a really good red line from the 2000-2004 drafts, but it has stalled just from a workload standpoint. So, you know, if it's a, I think our goal was to sometime in the next couple, 2 or 3 months to bring it back to you as to exactly what you, you know, where it is in your priorities and what type of funding would be necessary, what type of staff time would be necessary. You know, you can either put it on this document or wait till we bring it back to you.
I would go with the bring it back and let's see what it's going to cost. It's going to be a consultant cost. Okay.
People, I just want to make sure it didn't drop off the radar.
Okay. George, you got anything? Did I ask you? How about you, Nancy?
He wants money. What did I write down here? Okay, we talked about the capital projects plan. I would like to reiterate what I said and what Councilmember Smuckler said about having staff look towards figuring out how to work out a 5-year budget plan. If we could have some more long-range planning, I think it's going to work better. We can let people know that things are coming on down the road, even though we can't do them right now.
Can we stop there and see where we're at on that one?
Sure.
Carla, do you have feelings on 5-year plan?
I have always supported a long-term strategic plan. I'm just...
You're talking about budgeting, though, right?
Yes, I'm talking about budgeting, all aspects, actually. But I guess I would want to hear from our finance. I'm just concerned with our budget, current budget situation, how we vision that, how we do that. I'm feeling that we're going to do good to get a 2-year budget. And as much as I want to be visionary, I'm concerned with where we're at economically.
And in this economy, Nancy, I'm going to submit that, boy, it's hard to look out 5 years. When the economy is going, it's a different matter. I guess I'm not going to support it. Let's see what we have over here.
I think what might be helpful is some, in this budget cycle, is some projections out 5 years, looking at some real key decisions we obviously have coming forward, some potential large impact hits to the budget. Obviously, the power plant's one of those. Something that gives us some different scenarios about where the budget could end up and would alert us to any major adjustments that we need to make this year, so that 5 years from now, if in a worst case scenario, we're still able to.
Oh, but to ask, you know, where's fuel going to go? Where's fuel going to go in the next 3 months? Where is income going to be? Where is tourism going to be? It's impossible to project that in this economy.
Well, I think you just made a very good point, though. There are things we can look at projecting. Some of the first things you mentioned, staff salaries and
expenditures.
Let's start there and try to figure out what we're going to do 5 years down the road, where they're going to be.
But then it's in a vacuum, it would seem to me. If you're figuring out your expenditures without looking at your income.
Well, see, that sort of brings me to my other point, which is one of the goals that needs to, I think, be have more emphasis on it. It's getting late, I'm sorry. And that's that economic development plan. And I think we need to know what we can see, what things can happen in our town to bring in some money. I mean, I'm all in favor of tourism. I just think that we need the Chamber of Commerce and the city to go back to this goal, which is 2A. No, that's not 2A. I'm sorry. It's down further. But to look at an economic development plan. And I think that will give us, I think the two kind of work together.
Okay. I've made my statement. That
okay,
I think
me
it's
too.
Difficult. Carla, you want to add anything?
Is Ms. Johnson done?
Yes
ma'am.
Did Ms. Layton want to, she I think is wanting to make
a comment. Would you like
to
say something, Ms. Layton?
Thank you. Good evening. One of the things that I'm hearing is that you're interested in some long-range planning. And in this current economy, going much more than 2 years is it would be very difficult to do. But what we can do, and I know that many of the departments are working on, are long-range plans for capital outlay, for our street improvements. There are a lot of those kind of things that are going on that haven't completely been formalized. I know that Recreation and Parks has some long-range plans for capital. I know that each of the departments has this kind of thing. It just hasn't been brought forward in the budget. Even the two-year budget plan right now, we only get PERS information for 2 years at a time. I don't know what they're going to do in 2013-14. I have an estimate for what they're going to do for 11-12 and for 12-13, so I can lock into those numbers. But if PERS decides to make a radical change, our rates could go up another 2-3%. I don't know that, and I won't know it right now. So to predict out in a budget world of expenditures may not be a good idea, but I do believe that a five-year capital improvement plan would be an excellent addition to the budget.
Thank you. I think that was kind of along the lines of what we were trying to say, as much as we all would love to have the crystal ball for 5 years.
But you said it so much better.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
And I agree, and I think that I want to thank the city manager and staff for the strides that they have taken over the last year or two and following these goals. You know, for me, sometimes you just don't have to, you don't have to go past the first thing, which is you know, our budget, sustainable budget. You know, what is a sustainable budget? And from after that, you could probably stop right there and just keep working. A couple comments just in respect to the fact that there's been two staff reports brought about the visitor center and going to be a third, just so that people don't think we're asking staff to keep going back. Those have been extensions of time, just for clarification. It wasn't that we've ever really evaluated that at this point in time, but we keep extending it out. I think that we have taken great strides in the fact that we sold that city property and have established a facility maintenance fund, and that will be helping be a driving force in the capital projects plans and infrastructure funds that'll give us the long-term goals for what we can do to maintain and fix and replace around here is really, for me, where I'm at right now, and that's about it. I don't want to add anything else or change anything. I just want to focus on those things and keep moving forward.
You good with this, Nancy? Okay. So, are you good with this?
What we generally do is we'll summarize the goals and just bring those back to you either at a council meeting or just through memorandum, just so make sure we're all on the same page, and I think we're clear.
Basically, what I'm hearing up here is status quo, good job, keep it going, no real changes, except the urban forest we're going to give to the committees. Okay. I thank you for it. You know, somebody's the agenda, you know, works out the way it works out, and somebody and always ends up in the bottom here. And I'm sorry. Thank you for your patience. We are now at your item D1, Ms. Luker.
Very brief staff report this evening. As you are well aware, the City of Morro Bay has gone through an extensive request for proposal process, which is outlined in the staff report attached to this staff report that went to the TBID and the CPC committees. We had a joint meeting of both those committees to review the top agencies as provided by the Marketing Services Marketing Selection Committee. And at that meeting, each board voted 4-2 recommending the City Council award the Marketing and Advertising Services contract to TJA. We're now at the final stage of the RFP process, in which the City Council reviews the recommendations from both these boards, and it is your job this evening to make a final determination on the award of this contract. In your staff report, we've attached both proposals from both of the two top agencies, and as we indicated, we provided you a DVD of that March 1st meeting for your review. That is all I have this evening. I'm happy to answer questions.
I have no questions. Questions for Andrea? Over here. Questions for Andrea? Go ahead.
I do have a question. And thank you for supplying the DVD that helped in making sure we could review everything. at our leisure and replay sections that were particularly interesting. One thing that was pretty obvious with the presentations was that there was still some questions revolving around the actual structure of how the financial side of these proposals is going to be developed, and I guess I find myself feeling cautious about extending a contract to either company without getting a little more detail into these into the financial structure of their proposal and how that fits with our goals. And we talked a little bit before tonight's meeting about the process going forward, and I'd just like to give you the chance to describe that.
Thank you. If the council provides us direction on one agency this evening, what we will do then is enter negotiations with that agency on the contract and look at specifics. In the proposals, in the presentations that you watched, you saw that both agencies really handle the cost, their costs a little bit different. A flat rate, or that's not what the word I'm looking for. It escapes me. Barnett Cox uses one methodology, I should say, and TGA offers another. So, again, if you provide us direction this evening to pursue one agency, we'll go forward with that and then bring the contract back for you for final review on specifics. I think both agencies did provide a basic information on their fees, and I would be remiss, although you're obviously aware that we have representatives from both agencies here this evening, if you have specific questions for them. Is that helpful, Councilmember Smuckler?
Yeah, if you could elaborate a little bit further, though, on what you could see the process going forward. If we say we identify a particular firm we'd like, the negotiation process that then would take place, and how it would come back to the council, if you could talk to that just briefly.
Well, we'd speak to ask them specifically, you know, how are charges applied, what are we charged for, are there things that we're not charged for, can you give us an idea on what goes to personnel, what goes to media, is there additional fee that's tacked on to media purchase, those sorts of things, and get that financial information, and then certainly bring that contract back to you for approval.
Well, I guess we're at the point here of making the decision, and I've struggled with this. But what I come down to, you know, what I've consistently said over the years, I'm a man of the process, and we charged these two groups to come up with a decision, and I'm going to stand behind them, and I know with some people, including some people in the room, that's not going to be popular. But, you know, if you're not happy with Tom Jones, I think we need to hold their feet to the fire. I absolutely agree with the speakers who come up and say, you know, we're at Krovitz, you know, we have our meetings to an empty room, and those of you who are so unhappy with them, I mean, you need to get to the meetings and to voice your opinions. And, you know, based on that, I'm going to support Tom Jones because our two committees that we charged to make this decision, that's what they came up with. And I know that's not totally consistent. Somebody's going to come up with something from 1996 where I reversed a committee decision, but generally this is how I operate, and everybody's heard over ad nauseum.
On, you know, three of those people sit on that voting, those two voting bodies also. So I would have to respectfully say that I would feel that perhaps some of those votes were not without bias in regards to a relationship that they've formed. So for me, I look at it strictly from what we've had over the last 18 months, that we've had the money, not years past, but literally just the last 18 months, and whether I feel it's made a difference in our measure of, which is a question, too, we keep asking, how do you measure the success of it? I don't feel that we have. I don't feel that for as much money as we've put out there over the last 18 months that we've seen a measurable rate of return. And so for me, I guess at this time I'm looking for something that's more innovative and moving forward in a different way with social media and things like that I feel should have probably already been a path we were down.
So are you supporting Barnett Cox?
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much. Nancy?
Well, having served on a couple of boards, commissions around here, I understand how hard people work, and I understand what it's like to sit out there to an empty audience and then find out later that you didn't do what they wanted you to do. Nevertheless, I've also experienced having the city council and other people overturn our decisions. So the council is the final decision maker on this issue. I'm kind of tempted. Well, I'm not only tempted, I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm in trouble tonight anyway. Yes, you better believe it. When I read these, and it may just be that I didn't see it, and I don't know what I was looking for, but I have a daughter who just finished her master's in marketing, and I said to her, "Hey, Liz, if you were going to market a city, what's the first thing you'd do?" She said, "I'd go out and do an assessment of what my target audience was. Where do I want to get the people to come to my town?" I didn't see that in either one of these reports. Barnstorming said something about it. So at this point, my suggestion would be to go back, write a new RFP, and start over again and find out where our target audience is. Is it Bakersfield? Is it Fresno? Is it Ventura? We don't know that. Nobody has done that. The other thing in reading this back here, especially about barnstorming, believes that, down here, they're not clear on the relationship between the CPC, the T-bid, the city, and the visitor center. Excuse me, so who is? I'm not. And I already got in trouble for stalling the medical marijuana thing. But I'd like to know more about this relationship, and I think Noah was kind of alluding to that when he talked about who's paying for what and how these bills are going to get paid. So I could be persuaded to change my mind, but that's where I stand right now.
And we'll hear from the other two, and then we may have to come back to you and say, make a choice. But
okay,
we'll
if you do, I will.
Okay, George?
Well, Nancy must have been looking at my notes here because she said exactly what I was going to say about the targeting. And I look at it this way. 1994, they came aboard, and I'm hearing things from the motel people that they're no better off than they were then. And a lot of money has been spent. I know they've got some more money to work with now, but there has been a lot of money spent, and we don't seem to be going ahead. We just seem to be stagnant, like they mostly say, like 50% occupancy. Well, there might be a lot of reasons for this, the economy and thing, but there's been some good times too, and it seems to just stay there. I feel exactly like Nancy that I would like to really see this thing be brought back again, but that might be asking too much here. But I just wanted to say that I just don't see that the city is in any better shape than we were years ago, and I referred to us to as like a ball team, you know. No matter how much you like the manager and everything, the bowl, if your team isn't winning or not moving ahead, you know, they look for a new manager. I would really like to see this start all over again. I think right now, if they're talking about 50% occupancy, I believe right now if you move to Cox, you'll probably end up with 50% occupancy anyway.
Now, with those questions, those much larger questions still floating out there, I was very appreciative to the amount of work that went into the evaluation of this RFP and the different firms that responded. I think we're in a really powerful position right now in that we get to evaluate some options, and I hope regardless of where we go, that we maintain at least a 3-year revolving RFP process so that we don't work ourselves in a position where we move many years down the road without going through this process again, because I think it opens some opportunities for self exploration and dialogue. So that said, I'm inclined towards the Barnett and Cox proposal. I felt the energy level was really intriguing to me, although as I was questioning Ms. Luker earlier, I think there's still some real strong concerns that I have with the financial questions and the structure of how that billing could take place and if we can afford the package that's being offered to us. So at this point, it's to me, I felt initially, let's not rush and make this decision that we're about to make tonight and give ourselves a little more time to evaluate some of the bigger picture decisions and get some more details from both of the proposals, the top two. I think that is the other challenge that's part of this is we could devolve into a lot of bickering and community turmoil by opening this up too far all over again. And I think that's a dangerous path to take because, you know, we're a small town and we tend to start to bicker pretty easily. And this is clearly a time where we need to try to come together and define our plan going forward and really work together on that plan and come up with the vision and the ultimate solution to this. And we have some great experience now in the last year and a half with the T-bid, and I'd like to see that utilized. So I'm not giving a very clear answer, but it's kind of a congested situation that we're in right now. But I think it's one that has some potential to be really beneficial to the community. And I guess I just don't see a real obvious way for us to cleanly close this conversation up tonight without you know, actually getting some more information and having some more dialogue.
I guess I'd be looking for you. Is that your position? I mean, that lines up with these two. So then we'd have a majority, at least if we have a direction that we can explore. Or are you
that was my initial instinct. Coming into this, I felt like if I had to make a vote, I would go for Barnett and Cox, but I would want to make sure that we were really cautious about that that negotiation that would take place in that return contract. So we didn't get ourselves in a situation where we're completely committed and it turns out we can't fulfill the expectations from our side financially or they can't fulfill the expectations from their side. So, you know, it seems like we need to have a little more definition about the financial element of this at a minimum from our favorite firm, if that's the way we want to go. But, you know, I think the first meeting of April is when we're going to be talking about the communities or the visitor center and our delivery model discussion. And to me, that's the big picture that's really going to be the driver of where we go from here.
Well, I think if we don't award a contract here, I mean, it brings up some obvious questions. You know, will Tom Jones continue on a month-to-month? But staff's going to need direction on exactly what you guys are looking for. But let's make sure that we've got the majority consensus here of not awarding this contract tonight. That's what I'm feeling from these two. And we have Barnett Cox.
Barnett Cox.
The Tom Jones contract doesn't expire until June, the end of June.
Okay. Right, so he's still under contract, right, until June. What?
Until next year.
It expires over a year from now, but it does have a 30-day termination clause.
So we can keep going. Do you understand what's going on here? You have a puzzled look.
I do have a puzzled look. And I think there's one point of clarification I need to make is that whatever direction we go with our visitor center and our chamber issues and such, the city will still need to retain a marketing contractor. So that's one thing that we will, and I know Councilmember League brought up having an in-house marketing person, but whatever we do, it's my firm belief, and I think it's widely held, is that we will need a firm to do our marketing and advertising. So I don't think one decision today
using for the stakeholders and the rest of the community, it is a sensitive position that we're in right now, and what we don't want to do is just feed that by not making a decision. And if making a decision tonight helps close this up and we can move on to those bigger discussions and know that we haven't completely committed yet to a contract, to me that leaves some options open, but it seems as cleanly as possible.
You know, we don't have a contract before us, right? That's
and it is a little bit incorrect, the title. I mean, although you're awarding us to go into and negotiations for a contract, that contract has to come back to you because it's not specific enough to know exactly what the ramifications are. I think with TJA, you know what they are because it's real set, and we know they're 15% of their marketing sales that they do, and so that kind of budget is known. But with Barnett Cox, if you do pick them, I think we do have to have some preliminary negotiations and negotiate a contract and bring that back to you.
So again, I'm going to be a proponent of picking one, getting your questions, your concerns to staff so that they include that with the negotiations with whatever firm is chosen. If that firm doesn't like the direction it's going, they can always withdraw. If we don't like, you know, what they're proposing, we can always withdraw. So, again, I'll look at you, Noah. Are you going to go by? Yeah, I'm not trying to force this down your throats. It just makes sense.
No, I understand. You know, at some point this is our job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, given that, I would say that I'd go forward with Barnett and Cox in those negotiations, understanding that we haven't agreed to a contract.
I kind of switch. I told you before that I think we should put out some RFPs, but I've been just sitting here listening to Noah and thinking about this a little bit, and I really now I really feel like we put this to bed because it's going to cause a lot of turmoil in town, and let's just get it done, and that's our job, and let's do it.
So let's hear a name.
I'll make a motion.
Go for it.
Let her make a motion.
I move that we look towards contract with Barnett and Cox for our advertising and promotion service.
I'll second.
Discussion?
And so that would obviously be the process that we've talked about.
I still have a concern about our target audience, and I think if you're going to go back and talk to them about funding and how this is going to be paid. If we're going to pay $500,000 for advertising, I want to know how they're going to decide where to spend it.
I think that's what...
I think it's a valid question.
Mary Yates just said was to make sure you get your direction and input and questions and all those things to staff so we can address them.
That's what I'm doing.
If I may quickly, is that type of analysis and research was not part of our RFP. We didn't feel there was funding for that type of research and analysis. To me, if you want to do that type of research and analysis, you could bring back a separate RFP, but you have to find funding for it. Some of those, I think, you know, can be very expensive, and how long. That wouldn't necessarily be part of this contract that you're asking for Barnett and Cox or from TJA. I'm, you know, sometimes you go to a completely different type of firm that does that type of research analysis and aren't even a marketing firm, or maybe it can overlap. But if you didn't see it in their proposals because it was specifically not requested to do that type of research analysis because there wasn't a budget for it.
But to me, paying about $500,000 when you don't know what your target audience is.
Well, that would be up to you. You're in charge of the T-bid budget and the promotions, and you can say at budget time, we will only spend $250 on budgeting, and we want to spend $250 on an analysis. That would be your decision at budget time where to put those dollars.
I have a comment about that because I had a similar question. And talking with people with more experience than I in this arena, I understand that the EVC and the VCB have concluded a market research study, and that might be a really great place for us to start, is to try to glean as much appropriate information from that, that we can begin that process. And I'm sure our different our two promotions boards could really help us focus that discussion and have that be the foundation, and then we'll know what holes might exist, and we could perhaps go forward with the most efficiency.
Well, and we do have our report at least tentatively scheduled.
That we need to agendize for a future discussion? Or if there's a preference, do we want to get on a regular cycle for an RFP for this? Is this premature to bring this up now?
It's okay with me to bring it up.
Well, it seems like this process has been valuable. It's been intensive, but we've had a lot of good ideas come out of this and introspection. And I think for the size of the contract, the importance of the job, that 3 years would be an appropriate cycle for an RFP. And I'd submit that that's part of the negotiations and what we're developing.
We're currently recommending a 3-year contract, and that a renewal of that contract would need to come back to you. So there I think it's go. Already in, included in that.
So it's automatic.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And any contract, although it will be 30 years, it's professional services and will have the normal term of you could terminate it within 30 days' notice. So technically, I always consider our professional service contracts a 30-day contract.
Can I ask the question, if we did take advantage of this 30 days and say, hey, boy, we made a super mistake here. What would be her next step after that? Would we just be in limbo?
You'd have to find someone to provide that services. You wouldn't have to go out for an RFP because RFPs don't require, I mean, professional services don't require a request for proposals and going through a selection process. So if, in fact, you were unhappy with Barnett Cox services, you could terminate that 30, 60, 90 days, 6 months, whatever, and find another company either by doing an RFP or by just picking someone.
Where's our promotion director when we need him?
Yeah, as far as the research you're talking about, I think your idea of VCB, get what we can. I think a lot of this goes back to those committees, that we have a community promotions committee, and we have the TBID, and some of what you're suggesting really is in their bailiwick. And if you've got those strong opinions, just like the people who's from the committees who stood up and said nobody comes to those meetings, I think it's appropriate in my eyes, even though you're a city council person, to go and say, yeah, don't get in trouble. You know, tell them what you want. You know, let Andrea know what you want. She'll pass it on. She's the staff member on those committees. Okay, are we done with this item? Did you, Barnett, why don't you come up here and introduce yourselves and take a second and. Hi.
Well, thank you. 10 after 10, so we won't spend a lot of time doing
thank
this.
Thank you for
I'm
that.
Dave Cox. I'm the president.
Start the timer. Go ahead.
3 minutes. I'm Dave Cox, president and COO of the company. Let me just say one quick thing on a personal note. I came here in 1980 to take a job as a general manager at KSBY, and I moved to Morro Bay. And I proposed to my wife in Morro Bay in what used to be the Hungry Tiger, is now sitting empty, and I'd like to see something in that building again. That would be a great location for somebody. And so there's some emotion to this. This isn't just a business deal for me. This is a lovely place and a world-class place, and we're delighted and hope we can work out our deal.
And I just also want to say thank you very much. And my name is Maggie Cox. I'm the CEO of Barnett Cox. I'm also Dave's wife. You might have gotten that. I'll mention that the diamond he gave me that night I eventually lost, but I don't hold that against Morro Bay by any means. And let me introduce Isaac Horton is our creative director, and Scott Morrell is our new business development manager. We have other staff members who we didn't bring tonight, but we very much appreciate this opportunity. We'll look forward to working towards a contract and helping promote Morro Bay. Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks for coming down. And thank you again, John, and your staff and everybody. You want to come up here?
Well, I know I took a little ribbing about our theme of renewing our vows, so I have to tell you this does feel a little bit like a divorce.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
But I want to thank you. I want to thank Morro Bay for all of these years. I think we've done some really good things in Morro Bay. I am unhappy that the occupancy rate is what it is. And I do want to thank you, and I have my contract through June, and just as I told Janice a long time ago, even though I know I'm not going to be continuing, I will give you more than 100% of our efforts. I look forward to working through June, and I'll help the other agency in any way I can for a smooth transition. And I wish Morro Bay the best. I will say, and I don't mean this as a negative, but it is my opportunity to give you some advice after doing this for 15 years plus. We really need to get the visitor center, the promotions committee, the business community, all of those people working together and not against each other, or we'll never succeed. It will not matter who you hire. You could hire the biggest agency on Madison Avenue, and unless that happens, you will not succeed, and the agency will not succeed. And the business community needs to speak up to that agency, not in a petition or not through emails. They need to have meetings with them and talk to them and tell them what they need prior to being unhappy and prior to it reaching this point of where it is and going against the advisor groups. That part I regret, but I wish the best for Morro Bay. I truly do, and it's been a pleasure, and you were the mayor when I first got the contract, so... but I do thank you all very much.
I had a black beard then.
You look exactly the same.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John, and thanks everybody on your staff. D2.
Item D2 is a discussion of the Green Building Incentive Programs, and I'll turn that over to Rob Livick, our Public Services Director.
Rebate for residential or a $20,000 to $50,000 rebate for new or remodeled commercial projects, large commercial projects. On a smaller scale projects, energy and wind projects, the green type projects, green roofs, they're eligible for up to 100% rebate and up to $5,000 of their permit fees rebated. Some of the benefits of this program that were identified in the original staff report are job creation, increased sales tax, through construction, increased or reduced energy consumption, and helping us meet our greenhouse gas goals, and potential for reduced operating costs for those businesses. The program is advertised on the city's website, and we promote it at when we attend Slow Green Build meetings. And we present it to potential developers as they're coming in, make sure they know about the project. For example, the wind projects, we let the company that is promoting those that they're eligible for the incentives that have yet to see an application for the rebates. Since May of 2009, almost 2 years, we've had only one project that has applied for this Green Building Incentive Program, and that was a small residential solar project, which had 100% of the fees rebated to it for a total of $412.50, their entire building permit fees. Perhaps a reason we don't see some of the other larger projects is LEED and Greenpoint rated projects are expensive on the front end to plan and get you down the LEED path. So you really need a large project to absorb those costs, even though you do get your permit fees rebated, and there can be some payback on the back end. Recommend that we continue the program, and although it is not a funded program through any external grants or anything, it's basically it's absorbed through the general fund, any of these rebates. But if we do start to get a marked increase of projects, we will have to return to council and discuss how we could potentially fund this. A little bit about the solar project that was presented in the paper today. Morro Bay was the winner or loser, depending how you view that, with the highest fees based on a rather simplistic survey that Sierra Club put out. It presented a project that was probably larger than would it ever be built in Morro Bay. It was a 10,000 square foot photovoltaic system that would cost about $700,000 to construct that project. As I stated, the $31,000 was a correct statement. It would be our fees without incentives. Maybe a potential solution to that is photovoltaic projects, the reason they cost so much is the PV panels or the photovoltaic panels themselves. Our building permit fees are based on the valuation of a project. So a high-value project that comes in is going to have higher fees. Usually that relates to the amount of work that you have to do on inspection and plan check. But because such a high component of the cost is for the PV panels, what I would suggest that we bring back to council is a program where we basically only look at those structural elements that we would be reviewing as far as for the cost of the plan check fees that would drastically reduce those fees if the council is interested in going down that route. That concludes my presentation and suggestion.
No, you're the one who wanted this. Do you have any? Let's see, go first.
Sure, with questions?
Whatever you want. Just a report.
Okay, well, at this point, as suggested, we would go forward with a memo annually updating us on the use of the program.
Correct.
Okay. And if you could speak briefly to, as you mentioned, the LEED certified projects are usually very expensive and have a lot of elements involved with them and can be really a way to try to encourage this on the front end of the curve of projects using these elements in their plan. And as it becomes more clearly it becomes more clear that the state's actually going to be requiring these elements, we're going to be able to phase this program out at some point. And so I think for now it's important for us to continue to support this and encourage projects to take advantage of it.
Cool. George, anything?
No, I agree with Noah. I think we should just support it right now. No really questions.
Nancy?
I agree completely, and I just have one quick question. Are you including wind turbines in your green incentives?
Yes, they would be included as long as they met the criteria of generating 75% of the demand. And I think the data that some of the vendors are showing, yes, with the typical systems, they are able to produce that amount of electricity.
Carla?
Well, you probably have to spoon feed me a little bit of the info, but no, I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah, good report. So there's no action on this item?
Just one question. Mr. Livick had the suggestion with the solar panels that we exclude the panels themselves and focus the fee on the structural component to address that concern, and I'd support that. Do we need some feedback from the council on that so we can proceed if we want to do that?
That's lowering a fee. That would require council action. Do you have this sense that Rob wants to say something?
Or we could bring that back when we bring back the rest of the master fee schedule so we didn't have to discuss it separately and do a separate analysis on it.
You would still need direction to
yes,
bring
the master fee schedule does come them. Back for to council.
Yeah, and I'm saying to do away with that fee, you'd have to have direction on that.
Correct.
And I don't think we can do that on this item, or can we? Can we just do that right now?
You can direct him to do that but it wouldn't come back for a final decision until either as a separate action, as he said, or as the master fee schedule. So your final decision wouldn't be made until then. But if you'd like him to do that analysis, you could do that tonight under this item.
Analysis.
Well, I'm not sure what goes into that. I mean, if it's just what would, I mean, maybe Rob needs to explain exactly what he would, what his process would be to change that fee.
He just said it. Not that I'm going to put words in his mouth. I am going to let him speak. He said he'd just bring back the master fee schedule. It would be off of there, right?
Yes. There would be a formula for deducting the costs of the non-inspected components of the solar photovoltaic system.
So this $700,000 hypothetical project that with the $30,000 fee, that $30,000 fee would go to?
Probably somewhere around $2,500. It'd be closer to the way the rest of the cities and the counties calculate that fee.
Let's see if we have council support for this. George? Yes. Okay, there's the consensus. I don't think we need a motion on that. You can come back with that. All right, anything else on this item? Thank you very much. Declaration of future agenda items? No? Yeah.
You addressed the comments by Mr. Stacy about the fishing concerns that he had. So,
I talked to him outside. I'm going to talk to Andrea about it. Sue's left, but you know we'll get a letter off to. Yes, we're going to address Brian's.
Okay, and we didn't need to do anything to formalize the transit subcommittee that Ms. Borchardt and I are on.
We did it.
Okay. Well, that's easy.
Mayor did it. You're it.
All right.
Okay. Anything else? Anything from staff? We're adjourned. Thank you. Thank you for watching at home. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, I think we get out of here this early.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Marijuana guys.
That water was good, man.
Oh, you did?
I knew it was. I can't wait to get on.